Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Connected to CNN Network. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. You're connected to CNN Network. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees.
W8FU.
Good morning.
Good morning. Man, I almost didn't go in today. I had a headache, pounding headache. Managed to get out of bed and go take a shower, and it subsided a little, but man.
I know how that goes. I had that nasty cold congestion like 2 weeks ago, and I think Dakota had it like the 2 weeks before I did, and he was telling me how, I thought I was good for like a week, and then it came back. Well, that's exactly what happened to me, man. I went down hard this weekend, and unfortunately I was up north, still had fun, but man, I actually did a telehealth yesterday and got some medicine because it just wasn't going away. This is getting ridiculous. So I have a ton of compassion for your situation there. This sucks.
Well, I got nothing that bad. Just a headache. I don't know. I don't know other symptoms. I had what you're describing a while back, though. I can't remember when exactly it was, but same thing, it just lingered on. Who are they open? The Crave restaurant has a sign that says open. There was a, you probably passed it 1,000 times. 12 and a half, almost a 13-mile road, that old ram's horn is now turning into Crave. And the sign is lit, and it says open.
I will have to pay attention. Yeah, it is not fun being sick, but you're probably getting to the point where you have to burn some days since you're entertaining the idea of retiring at some point in the medium to near future. You probably have days that you haven't used for years that you got to burn, so it's probably pretty hard to get out of bed some days.
Well, when you're retiring, they pay you out to a point. And I think we can get paid out on 937 and a half hours or something like that. And that'll apply, and that applies to your retirement calculation. So, you try to get that maximum number up, but as you get to the max, you lose it, right? So you do got to burn it. But I actually retired a few years back, and we have this thing called the drop plan where you stay employed, nothing changes in that regard, but, your retirement freezes at that moment, and I got paid out on all that. So now I'm on a little different plan than the most of the employees. I'm a drop employee, and the drop employee gets six days a year, so there's no banking, and it's use it or lose it, and then whatever the annual vacation time was when you dropped, they give you that at the beginning of each year, and it's use it or lose it. So I do tend to get, I tend to not take a lot of time in the early part of the year, and then when it gets toward the back end of the year, I'm taking a lot of time, to try to get, use up everything. But it's not quite, there is that situation, but it's always at the end of the year because I'm more of a annual use it or lose it kind of thing.
Yep, that would all make sense. So, yeah, so what'd you do this weekend? Anything fun?
Well, went and had breakfast with the boys yesterday. Then afterwards, I met with Dean and John over at one of the sites. We were just going there to eyeball something, basically, and mark a spot for a new mount so we could get the dish running. And just one thing led to another, and we were there for several hours and got the whole damn thing finished and working, got the microwave back up and running on the 2.6. For the 2.6, I should say, so the weird dropouts should not be there anymore.
Well, it wasn't a terrible day to stand on a roof, and it's probably nice to have a big item checked off your list, so that's great that you got that done.
I'm just leaving pauses in there in case any of the other folks want to jump in, but it's nice. I've got a series of things that are neither work or personal, items that have to get done, like, mostly revolving around the radio, our, repeaters and stuff like that. And I try to fit in as much as I can, but where I can. But I need help on certain things, and, the guys were there to help me out on that. So I'm trying to find somebody that wants to maybe do a little under the hood stuff on the hub. We got the scheduling, and you can do tail messages, and there's all sorts of stuff you can do. And I just oh my god, every time I got to do one of these, because I got one, two, four, six, seven repeaters that all require attention. I'd like to get one of them off my plate. Especially the one that requires the most tedious work.
Yeah, well, if that was even remotely my skill set, I would volunteer to help you, but that would only cause more chaos if I took that on. It'd become more of a burden to you than than help, that's for sure.
A Crave restaurant is opening? Wow, I'm going to have to check that out tomorrow. And a Sheets gas station, too. Boy, the neighborhood's looking up. W8RCY, good morning, gentlemen.
Dan, good morning, Donald. And I thought you might be in here this morning. But, call on that Crave. Don't go there, because they still got a lot of scaffolding out in the very front. But it kind of looks open other than that, so I don't know. And they got a big lit-up sign, and, you know, I kind of glanced inside, but I would definitely call first. And, yeah, how about that Sheets, huh? I drove by there Friday, and I went, what the heck? They tore that Rite Aid down, like, just blink of an eye. Crazy. That Rite Aid there at 12 Mile and the Quinner. Did you notice that, Anthony? They got that thing leveled.
I did not. I will have to look at that. And I did see that Crave, and I would agree with you. It appears to be open. Lights on inside, lights on the sign, an open sign, but there is an awful lot of scaffolding around it. And I will have to pay attention to that Sheets tomorrow morning. Actually, it's probably cool that it's going to be there, but it'll be frustrating for me for a while because it'll probably change the traffic pattern in the morning for a little bit. So we'll have to see. I'll have to pay attention to that.
Yeah, I heard about it, and I was talking to someone, and I said, well, the guys at Marco's Pizza, which is about a half a mile, it's only like a block away from me, heard about it through the Warren Planning Commission, and I mentioned it to Sean, and Sean didn't know anything about it first, and I said, well, they're kind of sure about it, and yeah, sure enough, now with Rite Aid being torn down, I guess it is going in there for certain. And I don't know what's going to happen with the used car lot or anything else there, but, I haven't been by it since I've been home, but I will either call or, you know, do something to check before I go out that way tomorrow. I just got a busy schedule today, and tomorrow I will have the time to, if it is open, maybe swing by there in the morning for a late breakfast.
I think there was a FGS, was that right? You kind of doubled there on the way in. If it is, I'll toss it over to you right after this. But, let me know, because that's going to be nice. And I got a little frustrated with our usual place this Saturday. They were kind of rushing us to get out of there because they had a big crowd coming in. I'm saying, well, you got a big crowd here right now. You know, it's like they've done it twice now. They pull that stunt again, I'm going to suggest we try the new place. But, you know, I got to see what it's all about first. Anyhow, I think it was FGS. I'm not 100% sure, because you were Dublin. Go ahead and take it, and then pass it to Anthony.
Yeah, this is KF8 FGS, David, over here. I was there Saturday morning. That was pretty tough over at the diner there. But I'm just monitoring. Good morning, gentlemen. Send it back to Anthony. KFA, FGS.
Good morning, David. Yeah, it's never cool when you got a group and they're rushing you out for another group, especially you guys. You guys are there every Saturday morning, rain or shine. So that's kind of odd that they would do that to you, and unfortunate, because... like you said, you get three strikes and you're out. So hopefully they don't do it again, or if they do, it's 5 years from now and you've forgotten that they've done it before. So over to you, Donald.
Well, as most of the regulars know, I quit going to the Cozy Cabin for other reasons besides the reasons I left. But I did notice, and I mentioned to Sean in a couple of text messages, I said, you guys, on a Saturday morning, I would text Sean, you guys out in like 90 minutes? Well, before I left the restaurant, I remember I felt being pushed out because there were some large parties coming in. But our group, the one thing that we did as a group, we would condense down as people left.
The Hazel Park guys would leave early, and some of us guys from the FBI group would just move down and condense tables and give them, you know, we were very accommodating to them instead of just taking up the usual four tables that we did take. And before I left, I noticed, like I said, I just felt like we're being pushed out of here, you know, for these larger groups. And, you know, it's like, well, I thought we were pretty well established and accommodating, but I think Sean would agree. Sean, over to you, sir.
Yeah, we did that. We had condensed it down to one table, four of us, and, you know, we kept leapfrogging until we got us all down to that one table up near the coffee maker, you know, the very first one, and they were still pushing us, and it's like, I'm like, good grief. Now, you know, Anthony, bear in mind, we were there for 2 hours, you know, I mean, it was going on, we'd get there at 8, and it was going on 10, but like I said, there was down to four of us, so it was the, I think it was myself, Jack, who else was there at the very end, and I'm forgetting now, but the four of us all condensed down to one table, and then they were still kind of like, you know, we really need this, you know, it's like, you know, if I hadn't already been there for 2 hours, you know, I mean, that'd be another thing, but that's a long time to be in there. What are you going to do? I don't know. And they had to find a way up. The only place where we sit, including our table, is the only place they could get that number of people in. So I guess I understand. It's just happening more frequently. Like you said, we're there every single Saturday, rain or shine. So what are you going to do? And David, where were you at? Why I'm not putting your call with your face. I know you weren't kitty corner from me there with the cowboy hat, or were you down the other end? That definitely was the cowboy hat. It was, you know, cat a corner from the same table there. And I was the one harassing you about all your espresso shots.
Gentlemen, I am pulling up at the office right now. I'm going to cut out here. Everybody have a great day. If I can, I will get back on my phone, and I will catch up with you later. Hopefully talk to somebody on the afternoon drive. This is KRUH. Have a good day.
Anthony, have a great day. Have a great work week. Don't work too hard. So on and so forth, you know the drill. And, yeah, all the best to you. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know. Maybe the cozy cabin was getting long in the tooth for a lot of us, and maybe if Crave can accommodate us, you know, four tables, 18 to 20 people, is usually our max. When I go there tomorrow, if there are open, I'll talk to them about it. I say, you know, how big of a party can you handle? And they say, you know, 16 to 20. And I said, well, what if we go slightly over by one or two? You know, I'll try to ask them and see what the layout of the land is and how much they change the place up on the inside, so on and so forth. And it was kind of like what Ramshorn was able to do, which is the same thing that Cozy Cabin could do. We could give it a shot for sure, and I'd be more than happy to come back.
Well, don't make any promises, because those guys are hard to steer elsewhere. And there's a lot of coordination involved, so I get it. But, you know, they're not easy to change. But I've often said, you know, it'd be nice if we just mixed it up a little bit, you know, every other or something like that. But anyhow, I imagine that they're going to be kind of busy for at least a little bit. You know, everybody's probably champing a bit to try that place out. I know I am. So, very good. Yeah, David, I got to get me some espresso this morning. I don't know, but I got a headache. I don't know if that'll aggravate it. So, like I was saying, caffeine doesn't really affect me. But I do got a headache this morning, which is really weird for me. I don't generally get headaches.
The only time caffeine affects me is when I don't have it, and then I get a headache.
Caffeine
caffeine, the lack of it will give you a headache. When I quit caffeine a while back, I struggled with that, and I was having headaches, and I wouldn't change as long as I drink coffee. He says, well, at least drink a half a cup or a taste for every day for, you know, a couple of days. It's the fact they put caffeine in Excedrin to help with headaches. So what are you going to do? Thank you, Sean.
Well, good morning, Dakota. Anthony just dropped out at work, and I think it would have been, I think it would have then jumped over to Donald, who's also in here, fresh back from Sebring. So, yay. But we'll switch it up a little bit. So we'll send it over to Donald, who will send it over to Dakota, who can send it back over to David. So go ahead, Donald.
Yep, I'm back. Got back early this morning, and I was just slap happy all day yesterday. 12-hour race ended at 10:10 Saturday night, and it was a crazy race. Beautiful weather, crazy race. Just a bunch of little stuff that kept us busy up in race control. And it's like, come on, guys, really? It's with all these Mickey Mouse things, and we got to call penalties or, you know, hit a car for 30 seconds in the box, penalty box or something. It was just nuts. So my brain was fried completely. Stress level was high, but we got through it. And the weather was nice. Like I say, though, I'm up in race control. I'm not out in the elements anymore. I'm just slap happy, but I got a good night's sleep, and I'm pretty much back to abnormality for myself. And Dakota, I guess Sean said it goes to Dakota, then Dave, and then Sean, I think. I don't remember. Maybe my mind's still not fully functional. It's Monday. W-8-R-C-Y.
Hey, ADF. Good morning, guys. Donald, I talked to you very briefly, and I don't even know if I talked, but I heard you. We were kind of on the air at the same time, but I was kind of screwing around with the DMR and three other things, so I don't know if I heard you or not, but welcome home. And, I wish I didn't have the dependency I do on caffeine, because it doesn't make me not tired. It's almost just habitual, you know, addiction at this point, but I'm trying to... I say this all the time, but I'll go in spurts. I'll wean off the energy drinks, and then I'll go back to coffee. So I'm going back to coffee because I notice when I drink coffee, I don't crash. But energy drinks, I crash. Go ahead, David.
GF8FGS. Yeah, the pretty heavy on for quite a while. The joke around the house was just coffee in the morning. Pours one in his right eye, one in his left eye, and one down his throat. So it ended up that I had a problem where on the weekends where I wasn't going to work, I get a headache. And so that's when I had talked to the doctor. He said, no, you can't just quit caffeine. You know, you got to have a little bit. So we just, I've been retired for a little bit. Still find plenty to do, though. Around the house and the radio and what have you. I'm not sure who it goes back to. Somebody help me out. KF8FGS.
Yeah, that would be me. So just FYI, your signal's getting real flighty. You're falling in and out of the repeater, so I don't know what's going on there, but you've been right on the edge most of the conversation, but you're actually dropping now. Anywho, I just switched over to the Clem. So if my audio changed or anything like that, I noticed it is bright and hot. So I know we were talking about the other day when you were, what were we talking about on that where we thought it was more the repeater than anything, Dakota? I can't remember. Oh, geez, what am I going to do for coffee? There's the 7-Eleven. I think it's going to probably be Starbucks again. I don't know. Maybe I'll do tea hose today. Tell you one thing though, I got to get off the carbs and the sugars. I've been not paying attention to that, and I can tell. That's probably why I got a headache. Not eating healthy lately. So get some caffeine and get back to eating healthy, and see if maybe that cures it. It ain't debilitating at this point, so it's just kind of annoying more than anything. Ah, well, W8FU. Donald.
Well, I quit drinking caffeine coffee probably 25 years ago when I was strictly drinking decaf, decaffeinated pops, everything. And it's like I've never even gotten off the coffee. And, this past weekend, one of the mistakes I made was I drank a lot of Starbucks, and I shouldn't have. And that's probably why I was so slap happy yesterday when I got home. I could not go to sleep. My eyes were tired. My brain was fried. I'm trying to take a nap, and I just couldn't sleep. But I don't know what it is with me and coffee, whether I drink caffeine or decaf or whatever. It doesn't matter. I just don't sleep. So I don't know what to do about that. And talking about signals, while I was down in Sebring, I was kind of occasionally when I had breaks or time away, I was monitoring the FBI on my scanner app on my phone. And did I hear correctly? Wally was calling from an airplane like 33,000 feet up at one point or something. John, back to you when you gets back to you.
Yeah, Sean, that was like, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago? Joe was saying Mount Clemens was quieter and Warren was hot or vice versa. Yeah, that's what he was saying, because we were arguing that, not arguing, we were stating that Mount Clemens is usually hotter. So, I don't know. But I've been thinking with the audio on this thing, too. I think I finally got it just in time to have my unit show up this week, so I get to redo it. And Donald, probably because Wally was flying home and he's been using his repeater phone. David, you're next.
All right, yeah, sorry about that, guys. Wasn't sure. I think the reason the signal was dropping out is I'm using an HP wandering around the house. Logging in the computer, get the wife clocked in, back and forth, whatever. So sorry about that. My shack is in the basement, and I'm the guy that runs the shovel-handled J-pole. So the HD works pretty well here. Hopefully the signal is a little better. Back to you.
Connected to CMN Network.
All right, I was getting my coffee. I don't know where we're at in the whole thing. I'm probably totally jacking things up, but I heard a big pause. Got my coffee. Make the final. Dakota, I had a pretty bad headache this morning, and I just didn't want to deal with 59, so I just took the regular route in. So we'll connect at some point. And what else was I going to say? I had something. I can't remember for the life of me what it was. Kind of unrelated to what we were talking about here. It probably had something to do with all this radio chatter over the weekend with you, the new one coming in and putting one up for sale and long-term plans. I think it had something to do with that. Where does it go, though? I don't know, because I was talking to the person at the window and kind of got boogered up.
I believe it's me, WARCY. Okay, I'll take it. No, I mentioned to you, Sean, you may not have heard me because you were ordering or something. While I'm down in Florida and stuff like that, on my phone I have that app that picks up scanners, and occasionally I would listen to you guys, and if I'm out of the area, anywhere really, because I can pick up just a bunch of stuff on that scanner app. And I heard Wally 33,000 feet at one point, and coming home what was it, Saturday, I think, or something. I don't even remember. I got to get my days straight. But that was interesting to hear him up there. I guess he was using the plane's Wi-Fi. But that was interesting to hear. But I'll tell you something else. My scanner app is slowly going away and fading out. And I don't know, but Broadcastify still has Madison Heights Fire Department. But my app in my phone that I have, that Gordon Edwards app, it's dropping a lot of Oakland County stuff left and right. And I think that app is probably fading out. Now I've lost track who's in charge or who's up next. It was Sean and me. Then Dave ended? No. I was after Dave, so I guess it's Dakota, then Dave, Sean, and me.
That is correct. And Sean, I completely forgot to grab it this morning, so no worries. I'll throw it in my backpack so I've got it no matter what truck I'm in. And, yeah, there's, I don't know, you and I have had like 15 different topics of discussion over the last couple of days. But if you're still up for it, my machine will be here, I think they say Wednesday, so we can do the old switcheroo. I highly doubt it's going to be on the frequencies and tune that I need, so I'll probably need your assistance there. Hopefully it works, and I can get you Anthony's back and get you your rim light and your other radius, and maybe buy you lunch for all the efforts. But, yeah, the 7550 is on its way, and I'm just really trying to talk myself out of spending more money on an R7, but I feel like once you go there, you're just set for a really long time. So I don't know what I'm going to do. If I sell that ICOM, I think it's a no-brainer, but I don't know. I probably don't need it. But also, now that I have a repeater at the house, it's really kind of cool just walking around with an HD and actually doing RF stuff. David?
Yeah, repeater in the house. That's convenient, to say the least. I'm probably the newest guy in the block here. I'm just now getting back into radio after a long hiatus. And when I first got back in, I thought I'd be warming my hands over tubes again like we used to, but not the case with all these software-defined radios. Thank you.
Yeah, so, okay, Donald. Yeah, he was on that repeater phone app, so that's how he did that. And I don't know, you know, a lot of Oakland County stuff's dropping from scanners because they said they're encrypted now and they can't do it. So if it's law, you know, LEO, then that's the explanation. Fire is different. Fire is not encrypted yet. I don't know that they're ever going to be, but they're not now. And so if they're dropping fire, I don't know what's going on there. But police, yeah, that's what's going on there. They don't have a feed anymore. I'm trying to think what else here. Dakota, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. If you pop the lid on the new one, and it's the repeaters and the duplexers are identical, I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't swap the duplexer, and then you're good to go. And then just send that one back, and I'll get that one retuned up whenever I get a chance. But you'd have everything else you need to do it, assuming you've got the programming cable. So you'll need the programming cable.
Sean, I agree with what you're saying about the information about the stuff on scanner. I was able to retrieve the Madison Heights Fire Department on Broadcastify, and they have like a newer screen set up where I don't have to listen to a Mavis group of five or six cities. I am now, my new thing is just strictly Madison Heights, and I am aware that the law enforcement side has been encrypted for like, you know, for quite a few years now, almost a decade because I've been here. 12 years, and it was there when I first got here, but then they changed that rule. And Dakota, I hear you're getting a couple of nice new HTs there, but yeah, right now I'm going to be off VMR for a little while. I'm going to be off the MI5 for a while because I got to get my radios over to Wally this week and or so, and get those radios updated. But I am looking for a simple DMR radio, and there is one by Motorola, the new BP50DX or something like that it's called, and it's analog and digital DMR capable, and it's only $380, I think. But if you don't hear me on the MI5 or anything like that, that'll be the reason why until I get my radios back. Because my other Motorola's, they just have the Moto Turbo in them, the subscription service that I use amongst family members. So that's the story there. But good luck with those two new radios. Are they both going to be UHF, or is one going to be VHF capable? Over to you, sir.
So I don't frequent MI5 a whole lot, but it seems like there's a ton of activity over there, so I'm going to try to make it a point to use it. I do have an open spot, so I can always jump on there. But DMR and I have been DMR simplexing, and we've been enjoying the heck out of that. So just trying to find other use cases for DMR. But the 7550 is UHF, and if I buy an R7, it'll also be UHF. Really no use case for me to get a VHF radio. There's really no VHF repeaters near me except for W8LAP, which is not really near me or feasible to handheld. So, I don't know. Just kind of consolidating stuff, going to replace the radio that I carry every day with a Motorola. That way I've got UHF and DMR, which is really all I need. And I'll grab it real quick. Sean, yeah, I was thinking that too. If you're cool with that, I'm cool with that. I still have your programming cable, so I should be able to get that knocked out and then get you everything back in one go.
This is David. Dakota, did you get the that code plug downloaded for that DM32?
I did. I used that damn thing all weekend, and I actually really enjoy that radio. That's kind of what sparked this whole thing. It's like, wow, if a Bofang could be this good, I might as well get a Moto.
Yeah, Roger that. What program did you use to open that? Because I went on online there, and my computer, I didn't have an app or a program to open that data file. Do you remember what you used?
Well, from that Italian site, it downloaded a CSV, and then I imported that into the Bofang DM32 software. So I didn't really have to do anything. Are you talking about, like, the code plug you download from the Central Michigan website?
There was a code plug from the Macomb ARPSC website. I was on there early this morning, and I didn't have anything to do it open with, and I didn't recognize the file extension.
That's what I meant, ARPSC, sorry. I downloaded the public one, and then it opens. You can import it or open it with the DM32 code plug software. I think it's like an ICF ICF file.
Okay, well, thanks. Yeah, I'll give it a try. I got, I programmed quite a bit of the analog side of this little radio. It's kind of cool. I like the dual monitoring that it allows, you get so busy, on some of these frequencies, and you have friends on both, different ones. And so it's just kind of interesting. Like I said, I'm probably the news guy on the block here. Like I said, just getting back into it all. And I really expected to be tuning up plates and grids. I really did. Back to whoever's next. No wonder you guys didn't hear me. I had my encryption on.
I keyed up to answer you, Dakota, about the duplexer, and then I keyed up again. I'm like, why aren't these guys hearing me? And I looked down, and I saw the little symbol. I went, ooh. Anyhow, yeah, as far as that the duplexer goes, if they're the same, hey, no harm with all. That's easy peasy. Just slip that in there, tune yours up, and you should be rocking and rolling, and then we'll connect on the stuff sometime. It really doesn't matter. No hurry for any of it. Like I said, we're kind of on in a little holding pattern to get that up, that one deployed until I can get some sort of aerial work on my radar. And other than that, I was saying that I just arrived at work and I got to get inside and start my day. So I will flip it back over to whoever's next, and I'm gonna. Is Donald still here? If not, then Dakota, I'll listen out. W8FU.
Yes, sir, I'm still here. You have a wonderful day, and we'll get caught up during the week as stuff happens and things go on, and I've got no racing until, well, I'm going to the Indy 500, but I'm going in to have fun with that. So my next race that I'm working is in June. So I got plenty of time to recoup, and it's only a 6 hour instead of a 12 or a 24. So anyhow, you have a good day. And Dakota, you're starting to sound like me. I'm a lifer UHF guy ever since I got into originally commercial radio with racing. We run UHF, and then I got into GMRS, UHF, and that's all I've ever worked. And then the DMR. I got into DMR through Motorola when I bought these XPR 7550s and 5550s, the mobile units. And I've just pretty much been stuck in UHF all my life, and I've only been tinkering with DMR, you know, in the last 6 years since 2019. So I'm still in a learning curve. So, Dave, if you're with us and you're still listening, I've been around this for 6 years now, and I'm still learning, and I'm still trying to figure it out and try to get things set up to where I can do it on my computer. And Dakota, I got some issues with my new Panasonic Toughbook getting stuff downloaded into it, and I may want to talk to you later this summer about maybe adding Windows 11 to it. But that's stuff for down the road, one step at a time, one thing at a time. Dakota, and then over to Dave.
Yeah. All right, Sean. I don't know if you're still listening, but we'll connect. Keep in touch. We've been handing gear back and forth to each other, and I want to make sure you get what's yours back. And Donald, I don't have any moto gear, but this will be the first. I found an open box with the screen protector still on it on eBay, $75.50. Not the E, unfortunately, but the price was right. It was $240. Comes with a battery and antenna. So, Anthony said he's got a charger. I just need to get a programming cable, and I think I'm off the race there. But so I'm excited to try that. I've been using that EM32 this weekend and been enjoying it. So I was like, all right, you know, this is what a UHF, granted, it's a dual band, but this is what a UHF DMR radio is all about, and I'm going to get a nice one and play with it. Something that I'll actually get used, something I'm not worried about throwing in a bag. That's the big hesitation I have with a couple of my more expensive HDs, like that one I posted in Discord that I'm selling. Great radio, just it lives in the sunglass hard case on my backpack, and then my Kenwood, which is a $700+ radio. I keep that thing at home because I'm afraid I'm going to break that. So at least I know the Motorola parts are readily available, and they're meant to be abused. But yeah, you know, I do VHF occasionally, but it's usually just simplex from my 705 doing some sideband stuff, which is a rarity nowadays, but I think I'll do just fine with just the UHF radio. David?
Yeah, it's been, for me, it's been quite a learning curve, but I'm catching on to all the local repeaters and whatnot, and the DMR, that'll come. That'll come. I did get my DMR radio ID, so I got that far into it. And get this code plug downloaded, opened up, and let's see what else I can do and play with it a little bit. And, I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen?
you know, it doesn't work. Or I'm missing a setting or something like that. So, but we'll muddle through. We'll muddle through. There's quite a bit. I mean, I get involved with WinLink, EchoLink, all these other links. You know, the repeaters, repeater book apps, and all that. So it's been quite a learning curve. I'm enjoying it. I don't watch TV anymore. I'll tell you that for sure. And Sean, it's good talking to you again this morning. Donald, back to you. Well, Dave, I retired at the end of 2012, and when I got settled into a senior campus where I live now, I got rid of my TV, so I don't own a television anymore. Anything I watch on live stream through my internet service, and I don't even have cable TV. If I can't live stream it, I'm just not watching it, and so my Wi-Fi cable bill is very, very, very dirt cheap, but you sound open-minded enough, and it's just a matter of learning everything, but you got to do it in baby steps, and I'm taking baby steps trying to learn it all because there's just so much to absorb, and I'm still having difficulty with a few things absorbing it. But it's good that you got your radio ID. That got you started, and, you know, so it sounds like you're headed in the right direction. And I'm going to be checking out of here shortly because I got to get in the shower and get my day started. I've got chiropractic work to do today, and like I said, I got a few other things I got to take care of financially wise. You know, I do my banking on Mondays, things like that. But Tuesdays and Wednesdays have lately been open for me, so I will check out or call and see what's going on over at Crave. And if they are open, maybe I'll swing by there tomorrow. If not, Wednesday for sure, because my schedule is wide open on Wednesdays. And that's it for me, so I'm going to bug out. I figured Dakota's probably just backing into his spot. So, Dave, welcome to the morning chat. W8RCY is my call sign. And I'll let you gentlemen wrap it up, and everybody have a great day. W8RCY.
All right, Donald, welcome home. Good talking to you. And I wish I was back in my parking spot. They've got 53 down to one lane for no reason whatsoever at 32. And I don't know if it's to slow people down because there's always a state cop there or if they're actually doing something, but it's been like that for a week. I forget about it every week. And then I sit there for about 10 minutes to get through because everyone cuts people off or blocks the lane at the good time. There's two lights right there. And, yeah, you know, DMR, I'm finally to the point where I understand it fully, at least on the amateur side. Don't color code, time slots, how the repeaters work, simplex. It took me a while to get there. It looks daunting at first, but if you take a step back and you take it piece by piece, it's really not too bad, and it's actually kind of cool. The capabilities are really cool. So, yeah, you'll get there. And then, you know, you said you're not a new ham, but you're back to the hobby, so you'll find all kinds of fun things like all-star nodes and different ways to connect in. So, good luck. It gets expensive and it's time-consuming, but I'm with you. I don't watch TV. I'd rather be tinkering in with radio stuff. I was playing video games for a long time there, and I was like, I got to stop doing this. It's like rotting my brain. So, jump back into radio. I never left it, but it's more of an effort outside of the morning commute. So, it's a good time. Good group of guys out here. Back to you.
Well, yeah, Dakota, I tell you what. I've heard a few stinkers on the radio here, but all in all, I mean, you know, I was back in the late 60s, I was involved in, you know the five words a minute, and then, you know, that was junior high school. And then, you know, sports and girls and then eventually school and college and marriage and kids and boats and cabins and, you know, it just all kind of took over. So I've been retired for a couple of years now, and my wife actually overheard me talking to an uncle who's been, you know, a lifetime ham, and in another state, and Joe heard me talking about how, you know, I would like to get back into it. And bless her heart, she got me that Anytone 578 plus. And so I knew right then I had it. So I studied up quick and refreshed, and I got my tech last December. And so I'm working on the general now, studying that. And cause I definitely want to get into HF. You know, another aspect of the hobby. And besides all the local fun stuff, hey, Jeff, you know, I know several hams around the country that I haven't talked to in a long time. And it'd be a hoot to hook up with some of those guys and get on some of the HF nets and the different things like that. So I'm working on the programming for the analog side of that Anytone 578. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. It's fun. Definitely don't even look at TV. Watch a little bit of the news. And I think it was Donald was saying that he live streams. That's what we do over here. We just stream whatever and get basic internet going. But, you know, I've been involved with, you know, I don't want to say prepping, but trying to be prepared, and communications is key. So it's kind of fun, and I'm enjoying it. And like everybody says, there's lots to learn. KF8FGS, that's finding good signal.
That's right. I remember you telling me that this weekend. You know, we got to get your wife to talk to my wife and give her some pointers. I've got mine to buy me one radio, which I greatly appreciate. I'm not complaining, but she just doesn't get the hobby, and I get it. We're from a different generation than most hams. We're in our early 30s, so she's like, I don't get what you guys do. Like, you just talk about radios on your radios. I'm like, yeah, welcome to ham radio. But I was just refreshing myself on the HF stuff, too, looking at some different antennas and whatnot. I used to love POTA. I've got a 705. That's like my pretty much my only radio that I use, aside from an 857 I bought from Sean. That's kind of a bug-out, do-all, jack-in-the-box radio. But, yeah, that's a whole nother rabbit hole once you start going down there, and it's a great time. And with the weather breaking, I'm looking forward to getting out and playing some radio in some parks or even in the backyard. But, yeah, welcome back. It's a good time. There's a lot of stuff to do. It's never-ending. And, yeah, I've got two internet services in my house and no TV, so it tells you where my priorities are.
Yeah, well, you're better off. If you have children, they're better off. I think I did hear you talk about being home with the kids this Saturday. They're better off. Better they should become hams at age 8 or 10 than get addicted to those video games. Our daughter and son-in-law had quite a time. They're gamers, and they're out west somewhere in Utah. And they're realizing that the kids, you know, it's tough. We were visiting, and, you know, we flew out to Utah, and so the kids got home from school the first day we were there, and they went running off to their bedrooms. I said, where are you guys going? Oh, I got to get on my game. I said, oh, no, you don't. You come sit with Grandpa. So my kids said they had to start to try to curtail some of that screen time, because it's just, I look at some of those games out there, and they're evil. They're just, there's nothing good about any of them. They're tough. At least the ones I've seen. And yeah, as far as the HF, I like building things. I was a plumber by trade and got involved with, you know, plumbing, pipe fitting, HVAC, you know, boilers and all that. And I like building things. Well, I've built a couple antennas now, and I'm trying to plan out a loop on my property and a couple other dipoles, and just trying to plan ahead a little bit and get prepared for what I need to do, for, you know, what posts, you know, what anchor points I need to put up, and where it would work out best, and, you know, how much can I put on the chimney, and do I want to mount any tripods on the roof, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's been, I'm a afraid, I don't want it to get all consuming because I want to make sure my wife gets, you know, she's jealous of my time too. And speaking of which, you said your wife got your radio. You need to let her see you using that radio. So she'll maybe appreciate it more. Back to you.
You're connected to CMN Network.
NABDF. You know, she said something the other day because I told her I was selling one of my radios because this is the one I got you. And I was like, no, I would never sell that. It's like, I was like, it's a gift from you. Why would I get rid of it? And she goes, well, where is it? I'm like, well, it's in my safe because I got a handful of very basic dual band analogs. I got ICOM ICT-10, I got a FT-60, and I got a VX-6R. Two of them are Mars modded. They're in a safe. Not a Faraday sleeve, but I think they would survive in the event. So I just keep them locked away as a, you know, in case of emergency backup radio. Or if I want to take a radio that I'm not worried about breaking, you know, like I was just saying, I'm not going to take my Kenwood PhD 75 Honey. But yeah, I know, I need to break it out and start using it so she can see that I use the gift she gets me. And as far as the video games and them getting their amateur license, I think I got three of them. I think the two older ones, obviously the little guy's not aware, but they love their FRS radios. They got Bluey FRS radios. I'll flip over.
My radio died, sorry.
Yeah, no apologies. No apologies. Well, since I'm using right now these HTs as bases, I got, you know, like the DM32, I bought two of them. So I got one in the charger, and I got one hooked up, and I got a couple of Baofengs, too. And I tell you what, people were really dissing on the Baofengs. And I got to say, to get started entry level, you know, for $40 for two of them or $50 for two radios, and so I could learn how to program, and it was pretty cool. And then I found that the Anytone programming, I got that opened up and figured out. It's the same as the what's on the Baofeng at DM32. It's the same program, few nuances, but basically the same setup. So, yeah, I may at some point get a better HT. I really like the Anytone brand. Used to be American made, and like everything else, but. I may go ahead and get an Anytone HT. They have some pretty interesting ones. Back to you, Dakota.
Bear with me. I don't know what my audio levels are like. This is the first time I've used this app on this phone. I thought about that when I grabbed the radio this morning. I'm like, I haven't charged that radio in like 3 days. So a little background. I've told this story a million times, so sorry anyone listening. My wife won't let me permanently mount a radio in her truck, so I got a mag mount, and then I put an ICOM 2730 in an Armalock cage in a bag with a Dakota Lithium 7-amp-hour battery, and that's my mobile in this vehicle. And when I sell my truck, which is coming up here, I'm probably not going to permanently install anything in the new truck, so I'll probably just drop down to one bag radio, which is this. Anyway, yeah, the Baofengs, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just it's a great starter radio. It's super low cost of entry. I just like I said, I'm kind of a hardware snob, so it's a personal thing. Just unnecessary. Like, I'm absolutely loving that DM32, but Anytones are also rock solid radios. 878. I haven't touched an 890, but I guess those are even better. But I did hear stay away from the 168. I heard it's not all it's cracked up to be. But on that note, I am back into my parking spot here. I'm going to bring my radio inside. I'm going to charge the battery so I can maybe talk to you this afternoon and whoever else is out here. But I'll clear out after yours. Welcome to the morning chat. Look forward to talking to you some more, and I'll catch you later. N8DBF.
Yeah, roger that. Well, I'll keep it short so you can get in and get clocked in. And as far as the HF, I am looking for a shack in a box, you know, either the 991 maybe or the 7300 from ICOM. I was going to get a you know, just a single band mobile, like a 10-meter band mobile, utilized with my tech license, you know, until I get the general. But then I got to thinking, you know, why spend a few hundred bucks when you can just add a few hundred and go ahead and get the, like the ICOM 7300 is, I think, what I'm going to get. So maybe we'll talk about that another time. You guys can chime in and maybe tomorrow or something, and what you guys think it would be a good radio for me for HF. Well, this is KF8FGS, Finding Good Signals. Dakota, it's been good talking to you and the crew, and I appreciate you guys being welcoming, and we'll talk again maybe this afternoon. You have a good day. KF8FGS, we'll be clear.
KF8FGS, WA-VPE, quick comment.
Yeah, go ahead, WSBPD.
That data file, .data that you downloaded from Macomb ARPSC, you open that directly with the GPS for the DM32. Just click on the open file folder icon and find it and open that up, and there's your code plug already in the software.
Well, thanks, Brian. Yeah, wow. Okay, well, that make life a lot simpler. I'm sitting here right now. I'll give that a try right now. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I was a little confused at first myself because each one uses a different extension, but that one actually uses the word data. So just so you know.
All right, well, if you're going to hang out for a minute, I'll shout back to you. We'll see what I can do here. I don't have VOX, so I got to keep one hand on the mic, and I'm not a one-hand diaper, okay?
Well, I'm usually listening all through the workday. I may not always be able to respond, but, I work in an environment that I can listen. So I'll be standing by.
WA-BPD, it's KF8-FGS. Which program file do I open to get that? I'm in my, I got my files open, but I can't tell which one to use.
If you downloaded the CPS for the DM32, you would run that program, and then you would open up the .data file with that program, and it populates all the information into the software.
All right, I found the file with the DMRCPS data. I'll try opening it with that. W8BPD, KF8FGS.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, if I keep trying to open the CPS for that Baofeng, and it tells me it's already installed, and do I want to uninstall and reinstall? I don't want to lose the data that I already have in there. And I'm kind of confused. If you got a clue for me, I'd appreciate it.
Actually, run the program, not install it. Run the program because you've already got it installed. And instead of reading your radio to start, open up that data, that public.data file with the CPS, and all that data will populate in the CPS.
Oh, so just go to run from my start menu?
The program that you were using to program your DM32, that's the CPS software. Open that up. On the left-hand side, under the title headings, there'll be a little folder. You click on that. and then you searched where you have that .bata file that you downloaded, and you click on that, and it will open up all the code plug information into the software.
Good morning. 0800 hours. Cloudy. 31 degrees.
KZKJL. Good morning, Tom. WADPD.
Good morning, Brian. Where are you out and about to today?
I'm sitting at my workbench inside of work. Very slow morning this morning, and I like them this way.
Oh, I get that. You get a week where it's nonstop and you're busting a groove, and it's nice to have a break once in a while. Me, I don't know why, but I woke up late and everything. Look at the time, I'm like, oh crap, I gotta get out of here. I just left. I've been up for an hour.
Oh, so it's contagious. My phone died during the night on the charging stand, and my 6 a.m. alarm didn't go off, and the wife's 6:30 a.m. alarm went off, and she goes, it's 6:30, it's 6:30. I said, don't worry, it's only a 7-minute drive to work. Thank God for that, but... Yeah, and just one of those things. I didn't get it on the charging stand right, so it died.
Connected to CMN Network.
No, usually I wake right up, you know, between 6 and 6:30, and I'm out the door by 7:15, you know, depending on where I go. But I just couldn't fall asleep last night. I don't think I hit the pillow till about midnight. Usually I'm in there about 10:30.
Yeah, well, I did something stupid when I got home from bowling and started a printing project with using some 3D filament pieces because I don't care what the color looks like. And it ended up taking me till almost 2 a.m. before I got the last piece put in, and I went to bed about 2 thinking, boy, that was stupid. Oh, well.
No, I watch my nightly, you know, between 9:15 and 10:25, I watch Emergency. And by that time my wife's going off to bed around 10:15, I finish it up. Get the cat box out, cat in the kitchen with the cat food because they don't like her in the room because she attacks sometimes. Got the dogs in there, locked the house up, and then I go to bed. But last night, I mean, I just couldn't fall asleep. But this weekend, it was just busy, 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 busy again.
Yeah, I heard the busy, busy, busy. I know I worked Saturday, and then I went to church right after work Saturday, and I didn't leave the church until 6 o'clock in the evening and went home. I actually had nothing to do the rest of the night, but then I was busy all day Sunday again until after bowling, which is 9 o'clock at night. I figured I'd get a decent night's sleep, but then I started that project and, oops, sleep is so overrated, I think, sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, it's like, why? And then I fall back asleep. I mean, I'll still get up, you know, between 6 and 7, but I think it was just because of all the dust and all the work I did. You know, I took down 1, 2, 3, 4 ceiling fans at my late mother-in-law's house, taking those down so those could be sold and moving stuff around, you know, moving my brother-in-law and you know, getting him to look up websites and call people and everything else like that so he can find a place to live. And that just gets frustrating. It's just, you know, moving, and all the dust and the smell in the house, you know, it just makes me ill. And that's probably what did it, just wore me out.
Oh, yeah, my sinuses would be trash from doing that kind of work. And if you can't breathe, you can't sleep. Definitely.
Oh, yeah, I said sometimes it just drains me, either mentally or physically. But, you know, and every time I try to sit for a moment, relax, my wife's like, go do this, go do that, go do this. I'm like, oh, my Lord, give me a break. You know, so I had my future son-in-law help me take down the rest of the fans. And I said, but the house is dusty. My brother-in-law smokes. Two different types of cigarettes, if you catch my drift. And it's just, it's murder on my sinuses and my asthma.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I smoked regular cigarettes for so many years. I didn't understand exactly how bad it stunk until I quit smoking. And then it's like, wow, I'm sorry.
All right.
I had to apologize to my wife.
Yeah, my wife quit 6 years ago after her stroke. She had no choice. And I quit probably about a year and a half after that. I mean, I vape, but, you know, that doesn't leave nicotine stains on everything. And, I mean, he smokes like a chimney. So, got that, and then he turns the heat up in the house because he's cold. So I'm walking into a house that's 70-some-odd degrees, and it smells. It's just atrocious. So I look at it, I'm like, how could I ever have done that for so many years?
Yeah, I agreed. And then to add that other smell on top of it, oh, good God, I couldn't imagine. I know when I used to work at Mickey Shores many, many, many moons ago, you'd climb into some of them cars and just the stench was horrendous. Imagine what it would have smelled like if I didn't smoke and try to work in some of those cars. But oh well. I'm clean now.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I have COPD, but, you know, the smoking didn't help it. It was I got it from chemical burns, from formaldehyde. So, I said, I was dumb, should have quit, you know, long, long time ago, never did.
Yeah, well, smoking doesn't necessarily cause it, it does help bring it along. But a friend of my friend's dad's work companion, they worked for Chrysler Trucking for many, 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 many moons as diesel mechanics. And never smoked a day in his life. He got COPD and blamed it on the diesel exhaust. And they ended up going to court, and they actually proved that that diesel exhaust was the cause of his COPD. So he got disability retirement, which is better than regular retirement, of course. But, yeah, I used to love to whiff with diesel in the morning, but... when I got the Army and worked around those diesel trucks, boy, I got sick of the smell.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I lived in L.A., I had the smog, I had the diesel fumes and everything else like that from working by the docks. I had the dead fish smell because the cannery was right across the street. So I get it. I smell like fish and diesel. Back then.
Yeah, on another note, my dog is doing better. She's holding her bladder, and she's more her old self. I didn't really realize that she was just off that much, but And it was pain meds that the vet prescribed for her that was causing the issues. I think she was just getting a little too mellow.
Okay, Joe. Well, there you go. She's better now, and her bladder's more in control. And I showed you those treats I used to give her. I haven't done that for a while, but that Badlands Ranch freeze-dried dog food or whatever, however she does it, that seems to help them out. They go nuts. Oh, excuse me. They go nuts over it.
Yeah, well, the wife mixes up some soft food for them on the weekends as their special treats, and anything that's not their normal food, they go nuts over. But, yeah, she asked if those treats were available at Meijer's. I said, they used to be. You can check, but you can get them on Chewy with your next food order because she orders bulk food from Chewy. So she doesn't have to carry the bags in and out of the grocery store.
Yeah, I used to get them at Meijer, and they were the same price on Chewy and at Meijer. But they stopped selling them. So I went to Chewy and found them, and I was ordering them from there. And like I said, it's all natural, and the gurgle went away. I tried that Dr. Marty's. That made him sick. So, and I got this lamb, freeze-dried lamb liver chunks, and one dog, she does not like it. She turns her nose up at it and walks away, and the other two eat it and keep the treat. So, but all three of them love the Badlands, and I just give them like four or five pieces every morning, and that does the trick, and they eat their regular food like normal.
Yeah, well, I know she gives them stuff in the morning, and one of the things that she does is she buys those probiotic chews. I said, well, I told her, I showed her the picture, and I forwarded a text to her from the Messenger app, and I said, try buying some of this, just throw a little bit in, you know, instead of this pill, that chew, everything else that she likes to do. I know, because we also give the boxer two fish oil tablets in the morning to help with her itch and dry skin. And, you know, I think the dogs have more medicines that my wife gives them than I have.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and trying to fill my dogs is a feat in itself. So one gets Benadryl for her allergy eyes. And she's very phlegmy and, you know, dang it, I forgot to give her one this morning. Oh, well, she'll live. But the other two, you know, they're easier to give medicine to, but not very. I have to trick them. I also treated them this weekend to cheddar cheese. And they went bonkers over that.
Yeah, well, I think it's one conjoining tablet for their joints, fish oil, and then she gives them something in a pill pocket, and yeah, my wife dies, my dog's going to be in trouble, I don't know the routine, and I'm terrible about taking pills myself because I don't have to do it on a regular enough basis, so yeah, I think I'd have to set an alarm or one of those recurring alarms in Alexa to tell me to do it every morning. WAPPD.
Yeah, I'm the one that kills the dogs.
Yeah, I took it
to how to open it. So, well, my daughter helped. I mean, she's pretty good at it. She just goes in and, whoop, there it is, done. But the one dog, the 11-year-old, she has a lot of phlegm, so she'll eat something, and then she'll cough it, get stuck in her throat, and then she'll cough it back up. Or the pill pockets, oh, she'll eat around the pill pocket, and then she spits the pill out. So that's been a 100% fail. So now I just wrap it in a little piece of bread, and when all three are sitting there, they chomp it down and make sure that nothing drops on the floor.
All right. GS. Open the software that you use to program the GM32. That program reads the DATA file for the information in order to program the radio with it. So the CPS that you use to read and write your DM32 is what you need to open that DATA file you downloaded from ARPSC.
All right, Roger that.
Thank you, Joe. 100%.
If you click on it, it's already installed. Do I want to reinstall it, uninstall
it?
And
then you click on File.
That's where I get open. I'm not sure. It doesn't want to download it. I tried opening the, I saved the program files as I was building them.
And it opens it up into the software.
Yeah, I'll go back to that same program. So what, I have to uninstall it and reinstall?
And then you send it to the radio.
All right. You do not need to reinstall the software. You use the same install that you used to read and write your radio. The DATA file is what holds the information. You have one that's saved already on your hard drive for what you did over the weekend, the programming that you did and saved. You can open up many different .data files with the same software. You don't need to uninstall anything. You don't need to install anything. Just use the same software that you've already read that radio with. And then you can open up that .data file and look at it. Just remember where your original one is saved at. You can go back to your original one and use that. You can go back and forth between many different .data files. All right, well, I'll play around with it and see if I can't get it to open up. Every time I try to open one of these saved files, it reverts back to that to the main program file wanting me to reopen that. So I'll figure it out. I'm lucky with it, and I'm missing a step somewhere. But it's been about 4 years since I was in the computer to open up, from when I was at work. So I'll figure it out. I do appreciate your effort there, Brian. All right, gentlemen, I got to step away. I got somebody approaching my bench with a piece of metal I'll probably have to work on. I will talk at y'all later. WABP, I'll be clear.
Hey, Brian. KCK Joe. And who's that name that's out there?
Missing.
Go ahead, you had questions on the DM32.
It's much easier is if you just right-click on that DATA file and hit open with, not the open, but the open with, and it gives you the list of programs you can use to open that instead of it just opening with the CTS. Okay, BLX.
Yeah, this is David, KFA-FGS. All right, well, I'll try that too. There's a bit of confusion here on my part. And I'm easily confused.
Yeah, we all are in the
jail.
Our wife, unfortunately. You deal with it? Yeah, move on. That's what I say, anyways. All right, you guys, have a good day. 73. BX, I'm going to go back to monitoring here.
KFA, KJL. Is that KFA, EFG? That's out there?
That's KFA, FGS. That's finding good signals. David here.
Got you, David. This is Tom Tango, Oscar Mike, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. Do you have the DM32 software installed on your computer?
Yes, I do. It's the CPS DMI radio setup, and then it's the B1.45EXE.
Okay, that's the executable file to install it on the computer, so there should be another icon. You said you already installed it?
Roger that. On the DM32, I did program the analog side. You know, I got, I don't know, 30, 40 channels, or, you know, repeaters that I put in here. And I divided up a couple zones, but, you know, wanting to get into the code plug for the digital side, and I can't, I don't know where maybe I just can't find where I put it here, but I'm pretty sure it was all under one file in one folder. I got everything else is in there, and yeah, I can click on the ones that I saved, and they revert back to that one and wants me to reinstall, so I'm missing a step somewhere.
Okay. Check on your desktop to see if you have another icon that says the same thing, DM32 radio, but it doesn't say .exe on it. It should just say CPS DM30, or CPS DMR version 1.45 or whatever it is. There should be another icon.
This is Kate.
Yeah, I see that icon. Let me click on that and see if that's what I need to do. Oh, by George, there it is. Oh, that was easy enough. My goodness. Well, let me see what I can find here. Yeah, I got back into everything now. So then when I get this this code plug file, I'm not quite sure what to do with it now. I got to go find that again. It's in my downloads, I guess.
Did you save the code plug into your download folder?
Affirmative.
Okay. In the CPS software, in the upper left-hand corner, there's like a little yellow square with an arrow that means open file. If it's easy, you click on file and then open. And then it's going to open up another window saying what file do you want to open. Navigate to your downloads folder on the computer, which is on the left-hand side of that other window that opens up. And then you will find the DM32 public data file that you just downloaded. Highlight that and click on open.
You're connected to CMN Network.
And it's simple as that. Oh, by George. Well, thank you for the hint to go back to the desktop. I was going into the into my files, but that icon did it. I appreciate that. It shoot me back your call a little slower. I'm a little slow on the uptake.
Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Julius Oscar. Think of as KC as in Kansas City, 8 as in, you know, Cujo. Kansas City 8 Cujo. KCKJO. The name is Tom, but you'll hear people call me Cujo sometimes.
Yeah, I remember the book by Stephen King called Cujo. Oh my gosh. I hope you're not a rabid dog, eh?
No, that's how I remember my call sign when I first got it.
Yeah, I can relate to that. That's why, you know, I came up with finding good signals, and everybody seemed to get a kick out of that one.
I still stumble giving my call sometimes. You know, I get what I say is my tongue gets tangled up.
Oh yeah, it gets confusing sometimes. I mean, especially when you got FQN, FUN, FQN, you know, all of those.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I see this has got all the FRS and all the GMRS, and there's tons of stuff in here. There's absolutely tons of stuff. So what does a guy do with this now? Export that somehow into the radio?
Yep, you want to go into the GMRID, you want to open up that window, and then you want to put your GMRID in there. Because if not, you're going to use the other guy's GMRID. So, you want to go, if you want to click on GMRID, the page load, I'm not sure if you need to click it or double-click it, then it'll bring up a window, and it says radio ID, and you want to change it to your GMRID.
Yeah, there's a generic one there. There's one that it tells you your call sign here, and then there's one that's APRS. So I'll do that. And what's this going to do to the code that I, you know, the program I already built with the different repeaters that I like and everything?
Well, on the bad side, everything that you have in the radio is going to be written over. Do a rewrite on the flash memory. The good side is that those frequencies and analog ones that you have in there are probably in that new code plug. So when you download it, you'll have your analog, and then you'll have your digital, your DMR repeaters. It's a very extensive code plug, and I use it on my DM32. I made a couple changes here and there, but everything that's in there is pretty thorough. And then you just change it the way you want it. You know what those things are, you just can't put them back in there. You know, have to just manage them to live.
Well, I can just go back and put things in the different zones that I want. Is that what you mean?
Call it my repeaters or whatever you want to name it. Type them all back in again, unfortunately. And once you put them all back in there, then you can save them to the radio. And it'll have all the information that's already in that code plug and your new zone with all your analog repeater information.
All right, Roger that. Well, for one thing, I do have two of these DM32s, so I can leave one alone for a while until I get it built up how I want it. And so that might be a one advantage. And I've got no problem sitting here typing.
Hundred percent. Make it easy. You have two radios, leave the one there with your original in it, and that one right there, you can send it right to the radio. Just change your GMR ID and your APRS ID and just leave it alone. So put your GMR ID where it needs to be, and then send it to the radio.
Okay, Roger that. I have the digital ID that I got from the website. But where's my, where do I get the APRS ID?
KCHHO. Put in your same DMR ID in the APRS.
Tommy should be able to open another instance of that CBS and drag and drop from one code plug to the other. And,
Morning, Jeff. So if Dave opens up another instance with his code plug, they can be side by side. What's the, glad that you're out there. The APRS, do we use our DMR ID or do we use our physical call sign on that? How does that work? I never really mess with APRS.
APRS, you use your call sign. We do not do APRS on DMR, so make sure that's disabled. And also make sure Tucker Ayless is disabled, which in a code plug you got from Macomb County, it should be. I got to jump out of the back. Keep it up clear.
Yeah, thanks for the clue.
Thanks, Jeff. 73 and safe travels to you, KCK Joe. You good now, Dave? You can go from there?
Yeah, I think so. I'll play with it, and, you know, I'll just leave the APRS alone. It's got a number, an ID number there. I don't know if it's just, a holding spot, you know, just to hold it open or something. I don't know. I'll just leave it alone, and I'll get in there and see if I can't, I don't know about drag and drop, but I'll see what I can do here. Get this built, get this downloaded and built.
Sounds good, sir. If you got any other questions, I'm usually out and about. I probably got about another 20 minutes before I hit my first destination, so. But I'll be out here if you got any questions. KGO 73 in your final.
All right, Tom. KJO. Yeah, I used to get a lot of windshield time, too, a lot of glass time as a plumber and HVAC tech, so I know about going stop by stop. And a lot of drive time. All right, 73, we'll talk soon. Okay, F8, FGS, we're clear.
Good morning, 0900 hours. Cloudy, 31 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network.
What's got you out and about?
We have a work function that we're doing a temporary midday shutdown and doing a scavenger hunt at the zoo for a morale camaraderie thing. So would have been nice if it was a little warmer, but it'll still be fun to go do something else other than work.
All right. Well, pet the monkeys for me.
Sounds a little safer than petting the lions. So, yeah, I can do that.
Actually, I don't think they'll let you pet the primates or any of the wild ones. I think you can pet a giraffe if you go to that observation tower. Let's see, what else? There's not a whole lot. They let you get hands-on. So I guess pet a giraffe.
Yeah, you could feed the giraffe, too. It's that can be pretty interesting. We've done that with my daughter before.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. So, all right, I just had something come in here I have to tend to. Enjoy. I'll catch you in a few. I got to tend to something here. W8FU.
All right, I'll catch up with you later. KE8RU8.
connected to CMN Network. Good morning, 1000 hours. Clear. 34 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
This is KFA-FJH.
Connected to CMN Network. Good morning, 1100 hours. Clear. 34 degrees.
KCAKJO.
WACD.
Yeah, go ahead. This is KFA FGS. Go ahead.
Yeah, all I got with me is my handy jockey, and I'm a few miles from the repeater. I just wanted to see if it would hit. Probably not good enough to carry on a QSO, though.
Why don't you bring your data in? KKKO.
Got full signal. You're 5x9 over here.
That's a shock. Hey, Tom, I heard you as well. Yeah, I got tied up on the phone and ran out of time.
Oh, so all you got is, you don't have DMR, you just got UHF and P25 today.
No, I got my ex-handy talkie with me today, so DMR and analog, only UHF. Who was the other call out there? I apologize, I didn't mean to cut you out of the circuit. This is WAGD, Wally.
Yeah, Wally, this is KF8FGS, David. Glad you're back in town.
I am, and I'm going to the place I really don't want to go to. I'm going to the office. So I've got a bunch of projects that have fallen upon me. So I'm going to get those rolling, and I'm going to play hooky.
Well, the key to success is delegation.
I like that. I just delegated one of them to my son.
I'll bet you didn't want your key to work today. WHRCY says good morning.
Good morning.
you down.
Yeah, this morning I looked up that radio you were talking about. That's not a bad little radio.
Cut out early.
Wally, Tom stepped on you. I didn't hear anything you said. What did you say, Wally?
I said that radio you were talking about this morning. Hold on here. Grab my fiddle. I said that radio you were talking about this morning, that Motorola BP whatever. I saw that. I looked that radio up. That's not a bad little radio for the money.
No, it's not. It's a pretty rugged little radio, too. It's fairly new. It replaces the BP-40 that's kind of outdated. But it's only 450 to 470, so it's not going to really do what I want in the DMR world. But it's still a nice little radio for small commercial use, like what we would use in racing applications. And it doesn't have a display, and it doesn't have a keyboard, but the 450 to 470 kind of made me change my mind. If it was 430 to 470, I would have probably picked one up.
Do some research, Grasshopper. They do make one that is an R1 band. I found it.
Copy that. Did you also get my email this morning?
I did, and I have not opened it yet, but I did see it there.
Okay, as long as it arrived, that's all that matters, because I sent it by carrier pigeon at 5:30 this morning, and the pigeon wasn't quite awake yet. So as long as you got it, that's all that matters, and we'll work it from there in due time. I'll let you, Tom, and whoever else is out there continue your conversation. Have a great day. I hope your day is not too shocking. And morning, Tom, and to the other gentlemen out there. W8RCY.
Okay, I'm going to hand it to David. Give a little gap, and then Dave, go ahead. W8.
Yeah, thanks. And I want to thank Cujo. I believe that was you, Tom, that clued me in on the getting opening up that DMR32 program cold plug, as I got that downloaded.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, that was me. Glad you got it working there. And then Jeff, KB8SWR, you threw a couple things in there that I didn't know about. So that helped out, too. That helped out me as well. And those BPR-40s, those are nice little radios. I got a whole box of them.
R1 or R2?
Oh, I think they're R1. I'd have to look. You can only put GMRS on them. They're only, 450 to... 470, I think that's what they are.
Just like the new ones, they're both 450 to 470. That's the only negative thing I got against them. W8RCY, I'm out.
Well, I just pretended to order one, and it gave me the choice of 420 to 470 or 450 to 512. So, apparently the newer one can go high and low, which is good. David, go ahead. WAV.
Yeah, well, I'm the new guy on the block, as everybody knows, so I'm not real familiar with the different models of Motorola, but I've been reading about them, and I tell you what, they seem to be rock solid.
Well, you had to say that. You just had to tell me that it's in high and low options. Now I gotta go spend some money. W8RCY.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I have to load one up in the software and see if I can mod the frequency on them. But I don't think I can. I don't think I have that capability.
You don't want to do that anyway on a 4-watt radio. You lose too much. All right, everybody. I'm at my work. I will chat with y'all later. WA meeting. And, Dave, go ahead.
All right, very good. Very good, gentlemen. Well, I'm going to, I got to get on the road myself, so I'm going to be switching to the mobile. Thanks for all your help, Tom, this morning. KF8FGS, that's finding good signals. We're clear. I'm your final, 73.
Have a good one, Wally. Don't get in too much trouble today. Dave, glad I could help. We're all here for it. Don, good morning, as always. KCKQ.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Clear. 34 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network.
Oh, are you out and about?
I am, and I hope I didn't jump in an anyway conversation. After I threw my call out, I realized the volume was down, and so I was not privy to if anyone was chatting, but it seems quiet.
Oh, it's been quiet. You're good.
Yep, just heading to, where am I heading to? Dearborn Heights? No, Redford. Just leaving the office and heading toward Redford, and 696 is not the way to get there. Oh, well. And after that, it is home for an evening meeting. Are you out and about, or are you working from home?
Oh, I'm working home. I got off my bike. My phone was ringing. I've been on the phone for, was on the phone from 9 to 10:30, 11. And now I'm kind of like, my day didn't start how I thought it was, so I'm trying to play catch up, and I'm not going to get ahead of the eight ball today, it feels like.
Yeah, I have those days, although I usually do it to myself. Well, I take that back, not usually. Occasionally it happens that I think that, well, I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, and then the world has other plans. And then you're right, I feel like I'm working, you know, what else, just to get caught up to where I thought I ought to have been hours ago.
Well, that's, yeah. I wanted to do, I had my idea of doing certain things today, and 9 o'clock's phone call completely shoved it all out the way, and, yeah. I just noticed it's 12:30, and I'm like, I should go upstairs for lunch, but I can't. I gotta keep writing. Send that email. Okay. I did want to go out. I'm going to have to go out now, but it's probably not going to happen until later tonight. Although it's snowing up here. Is it snowing by you?
Yeah, it was flurrying when I left the house this morning to head into the office. And then stopped. The thing in the car said it's 39 degrees, although it's got a little bite to it, so we're not out of the woods yet. I get some time this evening or tomorrow. I have a busy day Wednesday, so I'm hoping that my day off work from home tomorrow is going to this week is going to be tomorrow, and if so, I'm going to kind of a QSL card project. I want to continue on if I get anything done tomorrow on that.
It says 34 here, but then I can see on the cameras Fenton and the concrete's all wet in the parking lot, but then I see these little flurry things falling from the sky, and I'm like, do I really want to go? No, I did finally get over to the printer and start a 15-hour print job, so a new rack case coming out started one of those, so I meant to start that yesterday, but it never happened. I get to do it now. And hopefully, I should check the cameras, because if the snow's cleared up enough, I want to see if my brother will go put my HF wire back up so I can play HF at least and run some FTA. You know, that favorite mode you like.
Does this mean that he needs to dig the antenna out from under the tree? I don't hate FTA. It's just it doesn't hold my attention. You know, but going through, as I mentioned in that one thread, I'm aware that there are some entities that perhaps a reasonably easy way, and in some cases maybe the only way that I'm ever going to get that entity is I got to get on FTA to get them. You know, some ham is there, and they're not making CW contacts. They're not getting on the phone, and if they are, I can't hear them. But, you know, they've got a computer running in the background, and they're making FTA contacts, and I'm like, well, that's what I got to do to get, you know, XYZ country. Maybe I need to acknowledge that I sometimes have to do that. So, anyhow, my QSL project is to kind of go through that list of all those entities I've worked on digital that have not been confirmed, and then start working on trying to figure out how to get those confirmed. Is it OQRS, or is it direct, or is it, you know, pay, send €5 to my PayPal address, and I'll send you a card and upload, okay, fine. You know, that stuff. Anyway, well, I can report there are flurries in Southfield, so there's that.
Kind of like it, because I could keep it running in the left screen, and if something piqued my interest, I'd try to work it, you know, or, you know, those types of things. So it wasn't like, you know, I could keep doing my day job, but yet still make use of it.
Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense, and I've done some of that, too. If I'm in the basement, sometimes I'll have it going, and I got that going on one screen and something else on the other screen, but for the most part, I'm pretty involved, though. I know I'm watching to see if I'm not on someone else's frequency or vice versa, and I usually have the volume up a little bit to kind of listen and see if there's anything unusual that I hear, and like, well, what is that? Is that a problem I can solve? Is it on my end? So, and although I think I got it set up properly last night, but GridChecker did not know what I had worked and or, it did not know what I had confirmed. It knew what I worked, but it had no idea what had been confirmed. And so I think I got it talking to LOCW so that it downloads the LOCW confirm list, and then, you know, if it's running, it knows if it's actually a new country or not, and if I've worked them, it crosses them out, and if they've already QSL'd. So that part was pretty cool. I got to continue to work on it a little bit to see if it was just doing that right when I was running out of time last night. But if that's the case, it'll make using it a little easier for me. It'll be less tedious.
Oh, I just looked at the cameras. There's still a ton of snow covering the trees, the snow fence. So I'm limited to 10, 15, 10 on the vertical. Guess I could fire it up, but I haven't. I haven't even bothered. I really don't know what I want to go upstairs and make for lunch. I kind of want a sloppy soup. Michelle made meatloaf for dinner last night. I know there's probably that up there, but I don't know if I want to make. I'm probably going to make a bologna sandwich. Or bologna wrap, I should say, not a sandwich, but a bologna. I might make a. Or if there's pickle loaf left, I'll make a pickle loaf wrap. There you go. Mmm, pickle loaf.
Mmm, pickle loaf. Well, we had meatloaf last night, too. Actually, we did not have them for dinner, but they were cooked. They had to get. The meat had to get cooked, and. Alright. Although, there's several meatloaf and potatoes and vegetables. Leftovers in the fridge, probably about a good 3 or 4 meals, so that will likely be dinner for me tonight. I do like a good meatloaf.
I don't know, Freddie. Cold meatloaf sandwich, it's hard to pass up.
Well, I'm going to have a meatloaf now. What am I going to have for dinner? You know? That's the the quandary.
Strategic planning. That's the key. Any videos?
I do like a meatloaf sandwich, but I do not like cold meatloaf. I don't know, like a cold meatloaf sandwich, so I would have to make something warm, like a hot meatloaf sandwich, open face with some sauce. That would be yummy.
I think the only way you can have a meatloaf is a meatloaf sandwich, let me rephrase that, is cold. Because otherwise you're just having hot meatloaf on warm bread. I don't know if I'd call it a sandwich then. And you're getting pretty noisy, Doug.
And I'm going away from the repeater, so. Alright, I'll find it and check in later. AATB. Over to whoever jumped in there, sorry.
Alright, I'm gonna go upstairs. My water is empty anyway, so I will figure out what I make. We'll see. WAFS.
Connected to CMN Network.
Calling station, your audio is very low. Cannot make out what you are saying.
This is KDA-VAX, just doing a check on the repeater.
I copy that. That was much better. You are definitely audible with whatever it is you just did different. So I would say keep that up, but yes, you're coming through loud and clear now. This is NACAF.
KDA-VAX, clear and monitoring.
Good afternoon, 1300 hours, snow, 33 degrees.
Good afternoon, this is Tim, ADHAL, just messing around in my ham shack, thought I'd throw a call sign out there, hope you're doing well. If you want to chit-chat, I'm here, otherwise, have a good day, ADHAL.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WDAKOL on the mobile.
WD8KLO.
Connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon, 1400 hours. Snow, 33 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon, 1500 hours. Snow, 33 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network.
W-E-T-P-T. In the ghetto.
What was that? I had my volume down too low.
Well, I was just singing some Elvis. What was that song where he sings in the ghetto? Being here in the clump, the ghetto.
Yeah, I don't know why the volume was so low. I knew you were singing something, but I didn't catch what it was.
Yeah, well, I'm not very good at it, so there's that. See, what you do is that's how you get away with it. So you're not allowed to sing on the radio. So I do it so poorly that anybody that would call it singing is out of their mind.
Well, hey man, this new 3D printer is like the bomb. I found a file for a CubeSat, and it took me a while to figure out on the computer how to get it from like a different, you know, file.
Okay.
Not here, but like it's printing perfect. So anything you need done now, as long as we have a STL file, it'll get done.
So Eric is in there. Eric, you sound really bad. I don't know what's going on there, but it's like really hot, and there's some sort of horrible noise in there with your signal. And we'll let him give it a try, see if he can get that fixed. But I'm curious which one you got, because I've been hearing about this one particular one, and how does it differ from the one you had? But Eric, what you got going on there? You sound terrible.
No, it was Captain Don kept keying up on me. But it should sound good here.
Oh, sure, blame it on me. It's always my fault. I hear that all the time. Let me make sure I'm keying up on Sean. I was just joking, by the way. I got the bamboo. Oh man, hold on a minute. Bamboo, of course. I don't know it unless I look it up. PS1, I think it is. It's and it's also has what's called the combo, and it lets you do four colors. So you can get it for $3.99 with one color, and then if you want to pay a little bit more now, like $5.49. You save $100 from buying that thing to do more colors later. So I got the one that'll do four colors. Actually, I think it'll do five colors, because I think maybe, don't quote me on that, you might be able to put a fifth color on the back.
But anyway, yeah, it's totally enclosed. Everything's automatic. The bed doubling's automatic. It purges the nozzles for you so they don't get plugged. I mean, it's literally plug and play versus the other one where I had to manually level the bed and I had to make sure the nozzle was clean before I started to print and purge it myself. And you know, it's like, it's just so amazing compared to the other one.
W-A-E-A-T. Yeah, I sent you a message on your mesh tactics. I just wanted to see if you got it.
Yeah, somebody must have been between you and me when you did that, because I actually have it sitting in front of me right now, and I got, hey, Don, it's Eric. And I said, hello, Eric, but it's in red.
When did you send that?
About 5 minutes ago. Yeah, I don't like this HealthTech with the touch screen in the case. Like, when it's charging, it really doesn't show that it's charging. And, like, it could say it's at 49%, and then you unplug it, and it slowly goes down to, like, 20%. So it's not got a good battery indicator and charge indicator. And then when I leave it set on the dash, it actually looks like it shuts off, but it apparently must be going into sleep mode, because if it was off, you wouldn't have seen it. Anyhow, I'm back.
Connected to CMN Network.
Anywho, let me make sure I got it. Yeah, when you said you got a new one, I was wondering if it was that bamboo. I've been hearing a lot, reading a lot about that thing. Guy I work with just bought one, and he loves it. Actually, two of them. One guy I work with and one guy that retired recently, he just got one. And, yeah, they said that. It's all automatic and, you know, like I said, closest thing to plug and play as you can. So very cool. I have not ventured into that yet. I really don't have a place to set it all up and, you know, and not saying I won't at some time, but at this point in time, I don't. And as little as I need one, I got so many friends that got them, I can just pay them to do a job for me and, you know, get it done. But it would be cool to have one, that's for sure. All right. I'm going to pass it to Eric when I'm done here. So let's see if I got it. All right. Yeah, the footprint that it actually takes up on the table is not very big. Just saying. And if you don't think you got a lot to print, once you get it, you will. But anyway, no, I get you, though. I mean, you do have enough people that do it. Definitely, we have a good group of 3D guys here, so... That's cool, but yeah, I'm digging it. Like, this print was only an hour doing that first part of the CubeSat. Now the next one's going to take, like, 4 hours. It's done, so shortly I'm going to go start the other one. But I'm not actually making a CubeSat. I'm making a CubeSat model to put my All-Star node in, and I'm going to put blinking lights on it and put it in the air over by my bonfire and pond, and it's going to be my Cube Satellite All-Star node outside.
Dude, why are you running 50 watts?
Are you talking to me? I'm only running 25. It might be too much. I probably can back it down.
Yeah, I had to crank up to like 50 watts, and I still wasn't getting over you. So I know you're closer to the repeater, but dang. I usually run like 5 watts. So you were quick keying. I was trying to get in there. I couldn't hear myself at 5, and I bumped it up to 10. I could barely hear myself, and I went from 25, and I went up to 50. It's like, holy crap, this guy, he must have his 2x4. He must be like pumping at least 25, 50 watts.
All right, I backed it down to 1 watt. Am I hitting it still?
Yeah, but you got to know, it'd be drastic about it. I mean, but I just found it odd that you were totally stepping on me. Like I said, I know you're like, what, 3 miles closer to the repeater, maybe? 4? I don't know. I don't know where you're at right now, but I'm like, man, he's cranking it, whatever he's doing. Where are you, at home?
No, I'm at my parents', so I'm not that much closer. I got it at 10 miles now, though. Go ahead, Sean, if you're still out there.
No, I was just pretty much interested in what you picked up, so I'm familiar with that bamboo, kind of. As familiar as a guy who has no intention of buying one can be. So I got to get rid of stuff. And until I get my garage built, I've got stuff packed up so much in my basement I can't even use it, so that's where I'd have to put it. I just don't have enough room on the first floor. So everything with me is space, and I won't have space considerations figured out until I get my garage built. So it is what it is, what you're going to do. But, yeah, I heard you, Eric, when you bounced in there, it didn't sound like you were doubling. It sounded like you were just really hot and kind of distorted, and I couldn't hear a double at all. I just heard this, you know, maybe a little bit, but it didn't sound like a double. It sounded like you were just hot and distorted. But in fact, that was just you doubling. I don't know what repeater you guys are on, but, you know, if I got to get in with somebody, I just figure out what one they're on, and I go one of the other ones. And usually you can come in nice and crystal clear.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know you were, I know you're not at your house. I meant your parents' house, but I thought maybe you might have been driving around in Warren or something, but yeah, or just come in on All-Star, you know, that way you could mix right in there and you can hear both perfectly. But yeah, getting to about the printer, I'm kind of the same way. I really don't have any room like I have some room up north, but you know, maybe I'll get something like that for up north, but like I said, I don't know how much time I'm going to be spending up north this summer, so it's all up in the air. But plus, if you have enough friends with 3D printers, you don't have to own one. You just tell them to print stuff for you. So it's like a boat, you know. You don't need a boat. You just need a good friend with a boat.
Roger that, yeah. The cool thing about this printer is I thought, I mean, you can access it with your phone, and you can make it print from your phone or a computer, and literally, I thought it was just a network thing, like a local network. It actually uses a cloud, so I can still look at the camera on it while it's printing when I have, my dad's horn's going off on his truck. I can still look at it, you know, when I'm on my 5G network, because it works in a cloud, so you literally could put it up in your cabin and tell it to print something from your house, and it'll print it. You just can't clear it off the bed to do another one, you know, because you're not physically there.
Watching your stuff print's gotta be handy at times, but when you said that, all I thought is watching paint dry or watching grass grow.
Yeah, we got a big industrial 3D printer at work. So between that and John and Captain Don, I haven't had to print anything. It's usually volunteer to print it for me. Now, I don't need one of those spatulas, though, Captain Don. I don't need one of those, but I can think of something, I'll let you know.
Yeah, that was just my first, and I wanted something quick. That was like a 40-minute print, and just to see how everything worked, and it will come in handy. Most of the stuff just lifts off the bed pretty easily. So I noticed it was running at 55 degrees Celsius, and I was running my other one at 72, were just probably cooking and stuff to the bed. So I'm actually learning stuff too just by that thing going automatic.
Have you seen these cup holder radio holders that the guys have been printing? Now, they're for Motorola radios, so if you don't have, you know, an XPR or an APX radio, you probably haven't printed one. But I'm just curious, you know, how long does it take to print something like that? I got one right here in my hand. Yeah, I'm just wondering how long something like that takes.
Yeah, I actually seen a cell phone version of that when I was going around on the stuff you can build on it for bamboo. And I'm guessing by looking at it, maybe 2.5 hours, maybe 4 hours at the most. You can actually speed it up, too. I did speed up the print yesterday, the second thing I did. And it went from 4.5 hours to, like, 3 hours and 42 minutes or something. And there was a quicker speed, too. But I think it doesn't seem like I lost any quality speeding that one up. But I think if I went to the fastest speed, I might lose some quality. So the slower you go, the more detailed. And the faster you go, it's just for something that you want the actual physical thing to work, but you don't really care if it looks perfect.
John printed out one of those holsters for the DM32, Sean. It looked pretty good, so it's probably pretty close. But, So if he can print that, he can print the other thing. But I didn't ask him how long it took.
It's a fairly big chunk of plastic. You know, it's pretty dense. I don't know how long it would last. You know, you could definitely sacrifice some quality with this because it's just a thing that shoves down your cup holder and holds a radio. It doesn't have to be, smooth or anything. I know the early stuff was, you know, real bumpy and rough, and I didn't care for anything that I would bother to have printed. It just, I didn't like the quality, but the stuff's getting much better. Stuff I've been seeing as of late's actually pretty nice. That one case you made for me, remember the one you did in the green, the fluorescent green and black, and it was for some version I think it was for one of John's Meshtastic nodes. And I like the way that turned out, but that was on your old one a while back. But they seem to be getting a lot better, you know, with the the rough kind of like, you know, just reminded me of everything seemed poor quality for a while, and things are getting quite a bit better.
Yeah, that one did turn out okay. I still thought it was a little bit on the not great quality. This printer, it would have been even better quality. But that's the thing. The poor quality is coming from the poorer printers, and as they're getting better, you're getting, like, really good quality.
I've been told by several people, you know, how you print it. Like, if you print it standing up versus printing, you know, on its side. So I guess the way you print it too, you know, so that controls how good it looks too.
KFA-F2N.
Well, where it ends would probably be determined where the roughest part is, I guess. I don't know. I don't do it. Good afternoon, Wyatt. Join the conversation. Hand it over to Don.
Roger, well, good afternoon, everybody, and yeah, I just wanted to join in and see what you guys are talking about. Also wanted to test out my radio. That's the main reason why. My coax was, there's something like cut or did something to the outer layer of my coax, so I had to get a little bit, I had to cut that segment and rewire a lot of stuff, that was a struggle. That took me all day. Got home at 2 and found that out, and I had to do it. fabrics and everything, using my solder gun and stuff, not solder, but kind of like twisting everything back together. But I'll hand it over to Don.
Ah, okay, Wyatt, good to hear from you again today. Man, I'm going to start having you fix all my stuff. That's cool. Good job there. Yeah, I got a new 3D printer yesterday. I don't know if you've seen, you've probably seen that on Discord. And I'm printing the smaller CubeSat right now. And I'm going to see if I can somehow make some kind of panels to enclose it for what I told you I was going to do with the All-Star node. If not, I have a cool replica of a small CubeSat at least. And I did see on that AMSAT site you can download an image for a Raspberry Pi that does what the CubeSats do. It has all the different sensor programs and whatnot. So I might play around with that too, just for the heck of it. But other than that, yeah, that's what I'm doing today. And I guess I'm gonna hand it over to Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, trying to work out an issue with the radio here, so I'm going to jump out for a little bit. But, yeah, you got to be careful patching coax together there. Yeah, sometimes you end up having a lot of loss through the reconnection. But sounds like you're making it in the repeater pretty good. Anyhow, I'm going to jump out of here and put my attention to my computer. So everybody have a good one. WAEAP.
All right, Eric, we'll catch you later. Have fun. And you guys are gonna have to explain to me, I heard you talk about this SAT cube or CubeSat or whatever the heck you're talking about. I have no idea. All I know is that SAT's in the word and Captain Don's playing with it, so I can guess, kind of, sort of. Yeah, something to do with satellites, but somebody explain to me what the heck that is you guys are talking about. Wyatt?
Yeah, so CubeSats are a form of miniature satellites that are, they're designed to be a low-cost, affordable, you could say affordable, nanosatellite, and in the shape of a cube, and there's a lot of uses for them. Like there's SaudiSat SO50, that's an amateur radio satellite, so they can be equipped with a lot of stuff. I believe it's, I forgot the dimensions, but it's like the size of a Rubik's cube, a little bit bigger than a Rubik's cube, and all the components inside and stuff are stacked, and then there's different sizes of CubeSat. So there's a 1U, which is the size of a Rubik's Cube. There's a 2U, which is like two Rubik's Cubes stacked on top of each other. There's more rare 3U, 4U, and 5U. There's 3U, and there's rare 4U and 5Us, and then it goes all the way up to 24U. It's basically just a nanosatellite in the shape of a cube.
Pretty much Wyatt covered it there. So he's getting into it with his. He's got one that he's building. And he's getting more into the sensors and stuff like that. So he definitely can explain that much. But, like, it's got APRS on it. The SO50 is actually an FM voice repeater that you hit, much like the one that's on the ISS, but it's a little CubeSat that floats around in space and has all kinds of different things it can do. Send SSTV, some of them. They're just that's what everybody's using to communicate to the satellites in space. They're just these little CubeSats that float around. And I guess AMSAT teams up with, I guess, NASA or SpaceX or whatever, so they can get launched for the school ones. But you can actually buy a CubeSat on some of these satellites, put it together yourself, pay like $20,000 or $30,000. It includes getting it launched into space. So that would be pretty cool if I were rich. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah,
So that was the part I was fumbling with is, okay, so you make yourself your own satellite, and then what, sits on the picnic table? Seems to me one of the important components of a successful satellite is launching it into space. So this thing, I take it you, I mean, what are people doing with them terrestrially? I get, you know, making one and trying to get it launched would be really cool, but I mean, hey, more space debris in the Clark Belt, yeah, but I just wondering, you know, what their terrestrial use is. So it's mostly I'm ignorant to the whole aspect of the hobby. I don't play with it at all. I get a little bit. I got the program, you know, where I can do the Doppler automatically with my 9700, and I've followed a couple and tracked them, and I think I made one contact, and I says, cool, that is really neat, and then I don't think I've done much beyond that, so I guess it's just to learn, right, to learn about it. You build one up, and you got it, and then, you know, as far as getting one in the air would be, you know, that's not going to probably happen for most folks.
100 hours. Cloudy. 34 degrees.
You're next,
Friday. Yes, again, Friday. Well, a lot of them are in low Earth orbit, so they deorbit in about 3 to 5 years. So you don't have to worry about space debris. As much as bigger satellites. In terms of what people do with them terrestrially, they're normally called CubeSats that stay on Earth. Normally prototypes they're called flat sats, and they'll use it as a cool decor piece, or they'll use it just to test out. It's a learning too, to test out their engineering skills. And, well, you're going to say you have a satellite. It's mainly prototypes and, like, testing out satellites and having, like, a cool piece of decor. And what they use them for is, it's not really, universities do make them. It's a very popular form of nanosatellites. A lot of high schools and universities will make them, launch them up into space. There is some CubeSats being used by NASA, like, I forgot, I think it's something space telescope, but it's a form of nanosatellite in the shape and dimensions of a CubeSat, and that's also another purpose for them is to make a satellite smaller and easier to launch up than bigger ones. That's why NASA is experimenting with them. There's some satellite CubeSats for, again, space telescopes, Earth observations, amateur radio, like soil stuff, like measuring the moisture in soil and stuff, and a lot of stuff like that, if that was what you're asking.
WATBT. So you forgot... I forgot one part of that that we were talking about yesterday. You can also build it so it's able to go in space. And then Wyatt said that he sent an email to NASA, and he was trying to see if there's a way he can get his actual build to go in space. So I talked to them about that a little bit yesterday and told them about AMSAT. And, you know, AMSAT has programs, and they do, you know, have colleges and schools that build them and send them out there. And I pointed them in that direction because I think he's trying to get his to go up into space, but didn't know how to go about that. So, that would be really cool if he built his and somehow through AMSAT or NASA or something, they agree to just toss it on and throw it up. Then we could be talking on the Wyatt repeater up in space. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh no! Don't get me wrong. I think it's great. You know, build that, learn about it. You know, learn about that end of it and all that stuff. Even if yours doesn't get up in the air, you know, if you're not investing a fortune, sounds like a great
great learning experience, and you know, maybe people can you know, and then a lot of times when we you know, tinker with things, you know, down here in the amateur community, some of these things, you know, make it to bigger scope, and you know, eventually be worked into you know, perfecting the art, so to speak. So, but yeah, very cool. Yeah, you have at it. I highly recommend it. But I just didn't know. I just, you know, when I think satellite, I think, you know, you're putting a bird in the air, and I thought, and I scratched my head and going, well, how are you going to do that? So that's cool. Even if you don't, you know, just the learning experience and all that, it would be cool. So very cool. All right, I'm just pulling up here to home. I'm going to back in the drive here, and I got some monkeying around to do. So go ahead. Guy's driving a little funky in front of me here. Won't let me get to my driveway. Anyhow, we'll catch everybody later. And Wyatt, like I said, you're good to go for Sunday, so no problem. I'll be watching just in case my script foo wasn't up to par. But I think I got it all automatically scripted. So from here on out, you'll be in control for the hour there. All right, gotta go, guys. W8FU. Wyatt.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Sean, again. I really appreciate that. That'll be a fun experience. Thank you for doing all of that. I let him know in the Zoom room, Richard Dick, he manages the East Coast Adventure, or owns it, about it, and he says, yeah, everything's good and stuff. But, good to see you. And, I'll hand it over to Don.
All right, John, good talking to you. Yeah, that CubeSat, I'm going to put an all-star node in it and then waterproof it, put a solar panel, the power, the battery that it runs off of, and put my all-star node at home outside and have some blinking lights at night for nostalgic, pretty, when you're sitting by the campfire, you can see it, so... Anyway, that's what I'm doing with mine. But cool. All right, I actually want to get in there and pull this print off and get the second part of this CubeSat going. So I'm actually gonna dip out of here too for a little bit. But it's good talking to both of you, and I will catch you both again soon. W8CPT Cliff and Wyatt's final.
All right. Well, hopefully your print went well. That's how I did my prototype. Actually, we don't away again today because I was trying to transmit with my GPIO pins, and I got my whole satellite out. But hey, look on Discord. I sent you the link to my website. Maybe you can test it out and see how you like it. The only thing that aren't working is that waterfall is simulated. I couldn't pull out a real SDR waterfall. Everything was HTTPS, which wouldn't allow me to pull information out. But and the AI isn't working. All right, if you can test that out, I really appreciate that. And send it to you, KSAFQN, clear for now.
All right, I'll definitely check that out. Make sure you send it to me. And I just wanted to comment on that. Hey, I'm going to go inside and do some 3D printing. WCPT clear.
This is KF8FJH testing.
KCAKJL.
Connected to CMN Network.
County DBS.
KFA
F2N. Don't forget your call sign, KFA or KCKJO.
I remember. I said my call sign. I said KFA F2N.
Oh, I didn't hear it, Wyatt. I'm sorry. I thought there was somebody else out there.
Yeah, it's just me. How's your afternoon going?
Got your homework done?
Yep, it's a new marking period, so, we got no homework yet.
Gotcha. Well, I hear you out there. I heard Sean once in a while, but there was somebody else. I think, Ben is out there. But I thought there was another, new operator, a girl that was out that, jumped on here once in a while.
Okay, yeah, maybe I'll hear on the air. I need to see if I can catch Ben on the air, because I don't think I've talked to him before. I know I've talked to Sean, but not Ben.
I think I heard him throw his call out earlier, but I was in the middle of a phone call and I couldn't answer him back. But I know he's out there.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was filling up one of my aquariums because I've been kind of neglecting that tank. I haven't been cleaning out the tank as I normally do. And what the 13 dishes were, which eat all the decaying stuff, I knew it was my time to shine and clean out the tank, so I had a, it was almost overflowing, so I had to get rid of the siphon. But, yeah, I've heard you or somebody talking about Ben and stuff, but yeah, still have not heard him at all. I haven't talked to Sean in a while, too. It's been like about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I read on Discord that WAFU got you set up for Friday night youth nets with the ECR. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm really appreciated with that. Mr. Dick, WB2JDQ, he wants me to be a net control, and I kind of wanted to do it on my radio, and the nearest repeater that is connected to the ECR is 70 miles away from me. My max range to a repeater is about 50 miles, so I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, I got to jump, big guy. I got somebody calling me on my the other radio here, one of my coworkers. I'll talk to you soon. 73 KKKJL.
Hi, Roger. Nice talking to you again. And, yeah, 73 to you. KFA FQN. Talk to you.
Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Cloudy. 34 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
KCKJ, I hear you out there, Dakota. I'm just on another radio. I'll be back. KCKJ.
You're good. I had about 5 phone calls today.
On your cell phone. So thank you for educating me. I appreciate it.
You bet. You gentlemen have a great afternoon. I'll be back to the side. KN4 TTP 73.
Uh-oh. Did somebody do a no-no and link up to the Eastern Michigan link?
4 Golf 1, Juliet Foxtrot Alpha. Is anybody copying? How do I copy?
Network disconnect now. That is not allowed.
Russ, I'm going to grab a snack. It was good talking to you. Good luck with your note and enjoy playing around with it.
You said that you copy.
You know, I've learned many things messing around with my note as well. So have a great day. This is KF0MHN. I'll be clear.
All right, Bill. 7-3. Thank you for all the info. Thank you for everyone that answered, too. KB2LSX, we're going to say 7-3, and we're going to be clear also. Thanks again. Have a great week.
Okay, it sounds like somebody stepped up for the Central Michigan Network. We're going.
Is anybody copy?
Being in a Teams call with the Indians, they all want to talk over each other.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Hello, my friend.
They'll hear me. But, hey, Fred, or Jeff, can you, it's on your node. There's a guy from Grand Rapids, 6894188PY. He's linking east reflector to the network here. Could you deal with it?
I can't. I'm in the car. That was directed at this, Jeff. If not, I apologize.
Oh, no, not you, Jeff. KBSWR or Fred. FSM. One of them guys. All right, I'll text them. Looks like they might have got him. Okay, all good.
I just bricked them.
KF8FQN, what happened?
Well, Wyatt, do you remember when you accidentally linked East Coast in, figured it out and said, oopsie, and somebody just did the same thing, so, but they booted him. I was hoping to get his attention before they booted him so we could say, hey, don't do that.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of where I thought. well, at least hopefully they learn, like I did, but,
all right,
yeah, I was just wondering.
There you go. Yeah, you know, I mean, everybody gets one get out of, you get a mulligan, and then you're all set, so. Jeff, CAD, do you do fusion at all? You familiar with that Eastern Michigan reflector thingy, Bob?
I've got fusion, but I don't do the wires X thing.
All right, I was just going to see if they, if I could pick it up somewhere. Just listen, but whatever, it's gone now. Not a big deal. All right, W8FU.
Yeah, I haven't turned that radio on since I got the 9700. All right, 7-3, I'm home. Let me see you.
W8FUKCKGO. If you want to try fusion, I got mine running right now.
No, I don't want to try it. I just wanted to know where I could pick up that Eastern link or whatever the heck it's called that we were linked to and drop in there, see if we could hear the guy that was doing it, see if he got the message or if he got booted.
Hey, Sean, it was the Spirit of 76 for the fusion, and it was East Coast Reflector, it wasn't Eastern Michigan Link, it was East Coast Reflector that they were linked to, because Bill, He's usually on there, so I recognize the voice.
Ah, okay. All right. Yeah, it was coming out of Grand Rapids. Somebody in Grand Rapids just, oopsed and has connected there. So they apparently got the message. Well, they either got the message or they got the bump, one or the other. So hard to tell. I just figured if I dropped in, I could see which one it was. All righty. I guess the mystery is unraveled as much as I care to unravel.
KKK, Joe. Yeah, that was a little crazy. I was sitting here driving off to my radio, just started cranking with people. You know, KF0, W4. I'm like, what on earth is going on? At least it wasn't a hot mic
like
when you lay on GMRS.
They would stick around just long enough to say, hey, my bad, you know, and then you could say, okay, cool, you know, they got it, you know. And then once you know they got it, then you're cool. But, you know, when he slinks away, I don't know, did he get it or did he, you know, or what? But hopefully he got it.
Well, at least it wasn't like that hot mic yesterday on GMRS. Geez, I wonder where that came from.
Either missed it or I'm not remembering. But all right, I got to get back to what I was doing anyhow. And really, in the grand scheme of things, ain't a big deal. Just wanted to make sure the guy understood what he did, and you know, so that he can correct. But good grief, who hasn't done it, right? I think it's a rite of passage. All right, W8FU.
Take it easy, KCKCO. Hey, Dave.
Good afternoon, KF8S. I'm at 24 in Van Dyke, taking my daughter to her music lesson.
Ah, gotcha. I'm at 32 in Romeo Plank, pushing the limits of the gas station in Armada for 13 cents back, cash back per gallon.
Is it over $3.99 without the discount?
Oh, I don't know. It's a fleet card, so I pay full price, but then I use my Upside app and I get coinage back. And then use that for discount.
Oh, you gotta love that. I'm just curious. I haven't driven by a gas station, so I don't know what it's at. It was $3.60-something at the warehouse stores or on the weekend. I don't know what it is today.
I think I saw $3.99, but I'll see what it is when I get into Armada. But, yeah, if I use my Speedway card, then they automatically take cents off, I guess you can say, per gallon, because the company has something with Speedway and fleet cards, so they get a reduced rate.
Well, that makes sense, and then you just have to go, you just have to make sure you find a Speedway, I guess, and then you use your rewards card on top of that. Nice.
Well, I get something. I mean, when I use the fuel rewards, the speedy or Speedway card at the pump, they get the points. Where when I use it inside the store, I get the points. So if they get it for fuel purchases, I get it for everything else. I mean, they just started doing that. But for Upside, it's a whole different ball of wax that when I use, you know, when I put in my Marathon rewards, I get those points, and then I use my Upside app, and where it says, you know, gas is $3.99, and I get 13 cents cash back, and that goes into my Upside account, and then you save it up and do whatever with it.
Yeah, I remember I think you and Sean were talking about it, and you guys can get Amazon cards and things like that.
Or you can get a nice Motorola APR 5550 from Wally.
Is he just buying all the ones he finds on eBay and refurbishing them and to everybody?
Well, he had a spare 5550E, so I told him when he had one available, I wanted it, so he had one available, and thing looks practically brand new out of the box, and then I bought the DTMS mic for it. He put the archive in it, so that's my DMR radio now, and then I still got the APR 4550 that's sitting in a bag with the mic. That's going to go in my personal vehicle.
Well, very nice. Yeah, I'm still using the 9600. I have it wedged in the center console. I have to put cardboard underneath it because I need to have like an insulator so it doesn't trip the the wireless charger. Because normally you put your phone in there. So I had to put like a car, piece of car, it looks weird, but it works, it fits there. And I heard you guys on Simplex yesterday. I heard Wally, I talked to Wally on Simplex. I think maybe it was Saturday, I don't remember. But I'm like, wow, you guys are on DMR.
Yeah, I had my DM32 on Simplex. I was meeting up with Wally for breakfast on Sunday. And then, went out with Tim and Cliff and Dean, and we did a little bit of hospital net, trying some distance and frequencies, analog and digital, from different sites. So check that portion off, check that box on the sheet.
So I'm going to make this my final because I'm about to go into the belly of Rochester. I just wanted to say that, I was able to reach Wally. I was at 24 in Romeo Plank, and I think he was at his house on Simplex. That was awesome. So, anyways, I will talk to you later as I go down into the valley. Okay, yeah, see that.
All right, take it easy, Dave. 73 for now. If I want your daughter to stay in school. KCAKGO.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
This is KFA Askewin. Are you looking for Wyatt? KKKGO.
Yeah, I have a question. Do you have any experience with transmitting on a Raspberry Pi's GPIO pin? Like, using, ARPID-X or something?
Me? No. That's over my head, boss. I know Dave is out there. He messes with Raspberry Pi, KF8S. Who else is out there? I think WABD does something with Raspberry Pi. KFABTQ, Darren, I believe, messes with Raspberry Pi as well. For myself personally, I programmed it, and that's about as far as I got with it.
Okay, I was just wondering for my satellite, because I can't afford a radio model, so the problem with it, though, is I need a low-pass filter because it creates a dirty signal. It creates a square wave, so when you transmit in, like, VHS, it's going to bleed out to UHF. The distance isn't that great, so I'll be fine with what I'm doing and clothes inside and stuff. But, yeah, I was wanting to know because it can translate to 50 kilohertz all the way up to 1 gigahertz. And I wanted my satellite to be telemetry on UHF and on microwave. I was having problems with it because I have the software installed and everything. It's just a pin that, like, your Raspberry Pi, those pins. There's pin seven that rattles really quick, and that's what makes the radio signals, and it's not working, that transmit. Unless it is, probably, it's just my Baofeng isn't picking it up. I don't need an SDR, but from what I'm seeing, I'm not getting anything.
Throw your question out on Discord with the guys on FBI. I'm sure someone out there is going to give you an answer. You say you need an SDR?
Negative. It uses a pin straight from the Raspberry Pi to make the radio wave. It's just my Baofeng, which I'm using to detect it, isn't getting anything. So maybe there is a chance that the Baofeng's hardware isn't allowing that signal to get through and be heard. So I probably need to buy an SDR to actually see the signal coming from the Pi. I wanted to do it because, yes, it does CW, FSK, MFSK, and then, yeah, FSK, and some voice, and some, yeah, narrowband FM. The SDR is just for precaution, just to see if it's even showing up on the spectrum.
Okay, yeah, throw that out of Discord with the guys. And if you need an SDR and you don't have an SDR and you need to use one, let me know on Discord, and I'll find mine buried in the bag and pack it up and ship it to you.
Oh, really? That'd be awesome. Thank you. You know, I'm asking what kind of SDR is it, because I know there's certain ones that it's directly that it won't detect it. What kind is it?
Oh, I have to dig it up and take a look at it. I got the antennas and the USB connector and everything for it, so I'll take a picture of it and send it to you on Discord, see if it's something that you can use.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'll check around my house first to see if there's anything I can use. And if not, I'll shoot you a message. And thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That'll go to my set up, send to my Raspberry Pi. So putting that about, I wish it would just work in the bow thing, but apparently not.
Trial and error. That's the whole purpose of the hobby, and so far you're trying a lot and getting very little errors. So just keep plugging away at it, and it'll be funny. You'll be sitting in the office, and you'll sit down to dinner and stuff and go, oh, I never checked this. And you're going to get up or write it down, and then you're going to go and do it and go, oh, that's all I had to do. And you'll be astounded at your thought process in regards to that. I do that at work all the time. I rack my brain over something simple, and then turn around, I'm like, oh, that's how to do it, and I go back and I do it, and I'm like, aha, and I'm proud of myself because I remembered something, and at my age, I forget more than I remember, so.
Well, hopefully that happens, I really hope. Yeah, I really want to do that. I really want to do some FSK. Oh, it does FSTV. Forgot about that, too. I know I have a low-pass filter somewhere. To block those square waves, but, yeah, well, I'll try to talk with it right now, so thank you. I'll look around my house. If I don't find anything, I'll work. I'm going to send you a message. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And, again, I have retirables on Raspberry Pi a little bit more. To put it back in the satellite. But, 732, and you have a good evening. KF8FQN, clear in your final.
Anytime, Wyatt. I bought it and used it a little bit, and but the speakers on my laptop that it's connected to kind of went funky, and I don't feel like hooking up an external speaker, and I have to keep it running, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I'll just find it in my laptop bag that I use for all my radios, and dig it up, put it in a box, and get it shipped out to you somehow.
I had a topic of plan. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it again. And, yeah, 7-3 to you. KF8FQN. Clear.
Anytime, Wyatt. Glad to help. 73. KC8KJO.
KC8KJO. KEOAS.
K8LAX, KCAKGO.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, just heard you out there, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you in a minute, so I figured I'd throw my call and say hello.
Good afternoon. How's the onboarding going?
If we're referring to work, I've done been onboarded, and their training is very, very, very short. So I've been on night shift, just working away and getting better as I do it.
Oh yeah, eventually you'll get into an system and into a routine. I mean, I was nervous when I first started announcing for horse shows and stuff, and then all of a sudden I just fell into it and kind of missed it. I'm doing one show this year. We'll see what else goes on. But once you're into it, that's if you'll find a system that works, and you'll be flying like an eagle.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm still making mistakes and stuff, but it's not too bad. I hate the schedule of nights, but I love the, I wouldn't say it's slow because there's less people, but it's a bit more laid back at night, so I'm enjoying that that part of it. I am definitely not enjoying not being able to do as much with ARPSC, but the other day we had our good, I know you've seen it on Discord, but that excited me.
Yeah, you and John did a really good job on that, man. That's beautiful. Talk about great alignment. That was pretty awesome. I mean, the DBs are good, and frequency, I mean, it's right there. I mean, so almost damn near perfect in range, but it's in range. For where it needs to be. So yeah, that's pretty awesome. Alright, I'm just about to pull in front of the house. My dog's going to lick the window. The other one's going to get excited, maybe pee on the floor. We'll find out when I get there. But I'll be on and off the radio. I've got to go dig up that SDR for Wyatt. 73 on your final. KGO.
Sounds good. Yeah, That's funny. That is really funny, and yeah, John did the hard stuff. He fished all that Cat 5 out of the ceiling and rerouted it. And unfortunately, he was the one holding the camera, so we didn't get much of him. But he did the hard stuff.
But I was impressed when we called Fred, and he was like, "There's already a link," and I think our jaws dropped. We're like, "Really?" But either way, 7-3s. I'll probably catch you out on the radio. I've got today off and back tomorrow. So 7-3s. We'll catch you. This is KELAX. I'll be clear.
Enjoy your day off. Talk to you soon. 7-3-KCKGOL.
Sorry about that. I guess my box is on. Again, sorry about that. KFAF.
Connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 1800 hours, cloudy, 34 degrees.
CFAF, do I trying to get into the system? You're not making it. I heard a little bit of you, but you really just cut it in and out. It's really bad.
W8CPT from W8EAP.
KE8FOY, were you calling your station?
Negative. I was calling Don. W8CPT. Roger.
Roger that. I was a bit confused there. Okay, my bad. That was working here. I thought you were calling monitoring or something. Sorry about that. This is KE8FOY monitoring.
Yeah, no problem.
You're
no problem.
To CMN
just kind of monitoring too. Thought maybe Captain Don was still out there. He was out there earlier, so I'll be standing by. W8EAP. You're in there mostly. It cut out a couple of times, a little bit of snow in the background, but most of the time you're in there.
Copy. I'm on a Daniel Sand UV32 in Shelby Township, Michigan here. I'm testing it. I'm on the Mount Clemens repeater on an AC, and I'm sounding with an AC, like 10 to 20 miles away. That's a shocker.
Right. Is that the DM32 or just the regular UV32? Not the DMR version, right? Just the regular version? No, you're not making it in there. You're cutting in and out pretty bad there. So wherever you're walking, you hit a dead spot if you're on foot.
Okay, anyway, I'm rocking a UV32. I'm waiting to get the DM32.
There you go. That should help you. At least when you're with the DMR, you'll be in solid, no noise. And you can still drop out of that too, but generally speaking, you should be a little bit better with the DMR. But very good. Are you still using that big long antenna measuring stick dealio?
No, I'm rocking a regular antenna right now. I'm on high power using 10. I'm pushing out 10 watts right now with a regular antenna. And for DMR, I do have a Motorola XTR5580 C-Mobile 900 megahertz, so I use that for 900 megahertz hands.
Whatever you did, you're coming in good right there. Don't move. Don't move. 900 meg. Yeah, I think that's that too popular. 900 and 1200 meg is not that popular. I would say UHF's probably the most popular.
It's pretty cool. I don't mess with 900 that much, but I saw the 6580 there. I'll monitor it, but I won't really talk on there that much. And as for UHF, I might be getting, I'm thinking about getting a Motorola XTR 7550 DMR handheld while I'm at it.
Yep. Just, probably have someone to program it for you, like the DM32, because you can just program it with Chirp. A lot of capability. You'll be giving up, you got the name, but you'll be giving up a lot of capabilities like aircraft and signal capture and all that good stuff. Frequency coverage, so. Yeah, you can't go wrong with either radio. But you'll really like the DM32. It does a lot, and it's inexpensive, and it works good.
I agree with you, but to be honest, it's a hit or miss with the Motorola's. I tend to program it. I'm actually working on a new computer. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of it, Tiny 10. It's a shrunk down version of Windows 10 without all the bloatware and all the jargon that comes with it. I was thinking about buying that or getting that loaded on an old computer. And then just throwing a bunch of programming software on it.
Yep. I got a little mini PC. It's old. It's a little bit on the slow side, but it's perfect for programming radios. That's all you need, I don't do anything with it except program radios. And small and portable. But yeah, I agree. Yep. Yeah, most of my radios are Chirp capable, but there's a few that, like for instance, a DM32 is not Chirp capable, and I have a few other radios that aren't, but most of them are.
What do you think about NXTN NextEdge? I was thinking about getting me a Kenwood NX340U. They're like $50 and Holoid Solutions. I was thinking about getting me one of those, and as for computers, you ever heard of a Panasonic Toughbook? You ever heard of one of those? They have great specs. They have i7, 500 gigabytes of storage. I was thinking about buying those because I was thinking about using it for gaming and other purposes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm coming in off DV switch. You're fading in and out, and then the announcements kind of covered you up. Something about NXDN. But, like you said, all cool and everything, but who uses it, I mean, DMR is the most popular. Probably Fusion is probably number two, There's a lot of Fusion repeaters because Yaesu gave away a lot of Fusion repeaters and sold them real cheap to different clubs. But if you can get it cheap enough, why not? Just build up a collection. like everybody else and have a million radios to play with when you get bored.
NSDN I want to use to listen to my school bus. Well, I can listen to my school bus dispatch, but to the other school bus dispatches. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of the MISC, Macomb Intermediate School District, but they run an NSDN 48 system, so I was going to buy an NSDN 40U. It has that compatibility, so I was going to buy one of those.
Oh, okay, yeah. I didn't know that, but yeah, it would probably be kind of boring to listen to. Listening to police is pretty good, but listening to school bus traffic, I mean, you could drive around with a FRS, GMRS radio in your car and pick up all the nursing homes, hospitals, hotels. I mean, you hear a lot of interesting stuff just driving around listening to FRS, GMRS. But school bus traffic, I don't know how exciting that would be. You know, it's like listening to the, you know, the snow plows and stuff.
Well, my district just actually gets really interesting really quick. Usually there's a lot of jargon going on. Just today, my bus driver had to call in because some kid, this little kid, he was in like first grade, he was saying a bunch of really, really bad words. He was saying a bunch of crazy stuff on the bus, and we literally went back to the school because of this.
I believe back in my day, they would throw the kid off the bus or the bus driver would pull over and give him a little bit of a whooping, but yeah, can't do that nowadays.
I'm going to be honest, they should be able to in this modern generation of utter chaos, honest to God. I think they should be able to call in. They called his parents and everything, and now they're pulling the tape. We got the cameras and all that tech and all that techie stuff on our bus.
Oh boy, that wouldn't have fly back when I was in school. But yeah, still don't have seatbelts on those buses though, huh? Well, let's talk about safety and no seatbelts.
Seatbelts are more reserved for the shorter buses. They're reserved for more the what's it called? They're more reserved for like the short buses, like special ed, handicapped, and stuff like that. That's, I was on one of those at one point. It was like when I was in like kindergarten or something. I had some skin. So, the shorter buses, and they still do on the short buses, but they don't have them on the regular buses.
W8EAP. Yeah, I don't think school buses changed that much. Since, you know, I live by a school, and the school buses look pretty much the same as they did back in the day, but I think that design is pretty, I don't know. It's a classic design. They haven't really changed them much. I mean, some buses have a flat front end. Some of them have, like, a hood that sticks out. And I'm talking about the full-size buses. But other than that, they really haven't changed.
Yeah, the school buses are pretty cool. I mean, they don't drive exactly like Cadillac, but, you know, they'll still get you from place to place. They're not bad. You ever seen the new ones with the digital gauge clusters and whatnot?
No, I haven't been on a bus in years. Sometimes when I go to Dayton Hambench and there'd be a shuttle bus from the Dayton Mall to Dayton or a shuttle bus down to the Grand Prix or something, but that was at least, I would say it's been at least 10 years since I've been on a bus.
School buses are now pretty nice. I mean, they're easy. They got they actually let us, they let us open the windows even when it's cold. You know, most of us the windows, but some newer buses do have the scenery, which is not true. Most of the children.
Yeah, you hit a bad spot again. You're fading in and out. Anywho, I got a couple things I got to do here. I'm still working on a radio, but nice talking to you, and I'll probably talk to you later on tonight. You know, I'm always out here. So. Anywho, yeah. I don't know what other antennas you could use or maybe find a hot spot to stand, but like I said, you're fading out pretty bad there. But anyhow, nice talking to you, and we'll talk to you again. W8EAP.
Yeah, F-O-K-E-8-F-O-Y. I'll be 7-3. I'll be monitoring. You have a good rest of your day, my man.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Cloudy. 34 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.
KE8RUH. KE8RUH.
Anthony, did you wake up from a nap thinking it's 7:30 in the morning and not 7:30 at night? You're late for work? W-A-R-C-Y.
No, I didn't, but that would be pretty funny if that happened, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm probably about twice your age, and the fact of the matter is, I've had a couple of moments where I've woken up from a nap and, you know, it's like, well, it's dusk, dark, and early morning kind of a thing. And I looked at the clock, and I said, he must be on his way to work. I got to call him out on this one. I couldn't resist the temptation.
Nope. That would be funny. Now I'm heading out to grab my daughter from dance, and figured I'm in the car. I might as well call out, see what's going on.
It seems to be pretty quiet. The double nickel had its neck just a little while ago. I think it wrapped up. Didn't really listen to it, but that's about the only traffic I've heard. And, you know, since 5 o'clock, I'd say. I wouldn't say it's cricket quiet. You know, we hear crickets in the background, but you know, it's kind of quiet for a Monday night for sure.
Yeah, I was, I tuned right over to Double Nickel, but that one was already over. You know, I used to pick her up earlier, and I would be able to get on the Double Nickel net, and, excuse me, I just have not been in the car for that one in quite a long time. I should probably try to remember and turn it on and the radio on my desk or something and talk to those guys. It's been a really long time.
Yeah, Steven out of St. Clair Shores, KE8UHG, I think is his call sign, ran it this evening. And then sometimes John, Big John, gets on there, and from Troy, 88OD, he gets on there once in a while. But the only reason I, or the only way I catch him is if I have my scanner feature turned on my SHTF radio that I'm using right now, and it's kind of like it's a that Wolfson thing that I have, and it's got just about a little bit of everything in it except the kitchen sink or DMR. But you know, it's just a simple, easy carry-on. I mean, daily carrier radio instead of carrying my Motorola's all the time and not draw attention. But yeah, I'm scanning, and that's how I catch most of the nets for you guys in the morning.
Yep, yeah, I don't, every once in a while, when I'm not hearing anything, I got a lot of stuff programmed into the radio in my car, so if I'm not hearing much, I'll scan around, but, you know, I almost have too much programmed in that I can't keep track of where it is and where I'm at if I'm able to hit that repeater from where I'm at, so sometimes it backfires having too much in there.
That can easily happen for sure. One of my Motorola HTs has all my stuff in it, and the other ones with my Moto Turbo subscription DMR I use throughout family and stuff like that because it's on the commercial frequency and not an amateur radio frequency. So I'm usually over there and talking to significant other's parents or my sister over in Highland because she's out there in Highland by herself and she's a few weeks older than me and it's an quick, easy way to check on her and she knows that all she's got to do is pick it up and hit the button and she can get a hold of me. So it's nice to have that. But yeah, I can see, you know, you can easily go overboard, especially with some of these radios now. I mean, I don't even know how much this Wooksound holds. I think it maybe holds 1,000. I'm not sure, but there's a lot of, because this is an SHTF-designed radio with a bunch of frequencies already pre-programmed into it. And my motors are 1,000 as well, and it's like I can't figure out anybody that could use a 1,000-channel radio. I mean, 100, what is it? What's the number I'm thinking of? Geez. Give me a second break. Somewhere around, I think, 256 before they started going crazy with 1,000-channel radios, what Motorola's had back in earlier years that I first started working with Motorola's. But, yeah, 1,000 channels, that's just nuts.
Yeah, you have to have a pretty good way of organizing them if program that many channels because it would just get overbearing. I know the way that you can organize channels on the Anytone DMR radios works pretty well, and I've been able to navigate that into different regions and things of that sort. But other radios, just analog or something like that, it can get pretty wild if you try to put that many repeaters in or whatever. It just gets out of control.
Every so often when I work a race, I have frequencies changed when I arrive because locations in different cities and states, you may come across something that it might interfere with a municipality frequency of some type. But most of my radios that I use, my personal HT, my 7550E, I just have race control and race operations. I don't have anything else in that radio except for, that's about it really, because all the other stuff, fire safety, medical personnel, track cleanup, tow trucks and all that, they're all on their frequencies. But I have a scanner. I carry a little pocket unit and scanner that fits in my shirt pocket. That's how small it is. But it's actually on my radio belt, and it's plugged into my headset so I can hear what other things are going on. But as far as the comm frequencies that I need to talk on, there's only like 2, 3 or something like that is all I have. And thankfully, I don't have to put all those other frequencies into a radio because I could probably easily fill up maybe close to 500. It can get nuts. We get a printout so we know what everybody's on, and I can just easily plug them into the scanner or go to one of the flyers and they'll download the updated thing into my scanner for me. So, yep, it's just crazy what these radios can do now for sure.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm at my destination. I'm going to hop out here, and I will catch up with you a little bit later. Thanks for calling back, and make making sure that I wasn't accidentally on my way into the office. This is KEARUH, and I'll be clear on your final.
Oh, you're most certainly welcome. It's like an experience. Like I said, it happened to me once, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. And yeah. And I did check on Crave today, that new restaurant there at the old Ram's Horn, and they're not open yet from what I can tell. But if you look up the website, CraveMI.com, Crave, Michigan, which would be just MI, they talk about the one in Lapeer, and it's the same group of people that, because there are a lot of Crave name restaurants, but that would be Crave.com or CraveMI.com, and it will have the information about the one on Decatur when it's going to open. All right, I'll let you get home, and I'll make sure you're heading home, and let you get home safely. W8RCY, have a good night.
You're connected to CMN Network.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec.
Good evening, 20:00 hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network.
KFASQM, listening.
Connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 21 hours. Cloudy. 30 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 22 hours. Cloudy, 30 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. Cloudy, 30 degrees.